This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
It's a special two-hour Doug and Daddy show live from the Big Ten Media Days in Chicago. Doug took the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth east to catch up with Big Ten coaches and players about the upcoming football season. So let's go live to Chicago for the Doug and Daddy show.
And good morning, everyone, from Chicago, the Windy City, where Lucas Duda does not play every week. It is the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you at the start of the 2015 Big Ten Media Days. Let the college football season begin for us in earnest. We've been talking the last 14 shows with all 14 schools in the league, getting a preview, getting a thought, and now we'll get a chance to hear from the coaches and a handful of players on the teams themselves. So, Randy, it's great to be here in Chicago, and they've got a different format this year.
Yep,
I know we're going
different.
To be much busier tomorrow on the program, but we'll see how it plays out today. We will be talking with a couple of the play-by-play voices, as we always like to do. Greg Sharp of the Huskers, Paul Keels of Ohio State. We'll be talking with them on today's show, and then I'm going to be honest with the
Michigan
listeners out
State's
there.
Coming through.
We'll see how it files through with the teams that are here today. Seven teams part of today's action, and then we'll have seven more coming through tomorrow. Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Maryland, Michigan State, Ohio State, and Wisconsin are the seven teams that are here today. And a lot of work being done this afternoon. It really doesn't officially begin till noon,
right?
Which is different than what we've had the last couple of years. But we'll have plenty of information. The Big Ten has announced their preseason players to watch list. The coaches' preseason poll is out. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more.
Yeah, and you're a proud papa because Lucas had a nice game yesterday. Little Lucas had a nice game yesterday for the Mets, and the only one apparently that showed up for the Mets yesterday.
We do what we can. We're a gamer. We play hard all the time.
Three solo home runs, only action really for the Mets all game, and they lose 7-3.
We'd love for you to be a part of the Doug and Daddy Show, as always. If you've got a comment, a question, something you've seen about the Huskers or some of the stories that have come out just in the last few hours here since folks started arriving in Chicago yesterday, whether it's about Big Ten Media Days or football or baseball or whatever's out there, we'd love to hear from you. You can tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550 at ESPN 1460 1550. You can always email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Send us a note on our Facebook page. And of course, the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line, 888-455-3776. If we have an opportunity, we might get a chance to take a call or two. 888-455-ESPN.
One of the more interesting moments I had, the National Championship Trophy is here. There's a guy whose main function is twofold. One, make sure you don't touch it. And two, if you want a picture taken, he'll help you out with your little selfie there.
Have you posted it to our page?
I have not posted it, but I have not posted it to our page. I've tweeted it out. I don't take a lot of selfies, but when you're with the National Championship Trophy, you kind of have to break that no selfie rule. Don't you? I mean, that's one of those opportunities. Like when you're in Chicago, you eat pizza. When you're at the National Championship, when you get access to the National Championship Trophy, you got to take a selfie. You got to. Tell me you're not going to do it. Don't tell me you're not going to have that picture taken. Don't tell me, because that's just going to be a flat-out lie. Ah, see, the silence. The silence. Haven't done it yet.
No, I haven't.
That's
done
the key.
It yet. We'll get one. We'll get her out there.
Yeah. No. I can't say, like I say, I did it. I can't blame you. I don't get to throw a stone on this deal. This is a fun environment. It just really kind of is pretty laid back as everybody kind of comes through here. And one of the things I find so interesting is just how well the media gets along with each other and how they're trying to figure out from each other how is your team going to be, the team that you cover, where they're going to be at. It's just kind of interesting to kind of go through all that. And you just get a much better idea of where everything shakes out over the next couple of days. Doesn't mean you got the answers, but it means you've got a fair amount of information.
So coming up on the program, a lot to talk about football-wise, and usually when that happens, we miss some of the other headlines. And so I want to throw a couple of those out to you here in our opening segment. And if you have a comment about any of that, we would love to hear from you as well. But Jared Shaffron, voice of the Tri-City Storm, leaving. They have lost almost everybody we've known here over the last year, from the GM and coach to the overseer, the president of the Storm in Vero Event Center, and Greg Shea. Jim Holton has moved on. The assistants have moved on. And now the voice of the Storm has moved on. Now, that doesn't mean bad things, because as Kirk Brooks says, they don't come after your coaches and your people when you're not winning. They come after them when you're doing well and you are winning. So I think this should be a positive sign. Jared is going off to be the play-by-play voice at Ferris State University.
Yeah, and that is a step up. And Kirk Brooks said it perfectly. He said, it's a developmental league. We're developing trainers, we're developing coaches, we're developing play-by-play guys, and the goal is to get them to move on and to move up. And that's exactly what Jared's doing. And he's been in some contests in terms of best play-by-play guys in the USHL and done very, very well with that. So he's done a great job and recognized for it, and congratulations to him moving up. It's one of those things you hate to see him be so successful, because he was so successful, because he was so good, and then moving on. So kind of going to miss Jared and his enthusiasm for hockey and for the Storm in particular.
Just a couple months till the season begins. Also in baseball, congratulations to Grand Island. 5 points, 6 runs with 2 outs in the fourth proved to be the difference in a 9-3 win over North Platte last night. Two teams out of the Cornhusker League West Division that had battled throughout the year. North Platte came back through the loser's bracket, won the first game last night to get into the finals, but Grand Island 5 points, and retiring coach Joe Wells picking up another state championship, 9-3 last night. So congratulations to 5 points last night. And then the senior division, the Class A senior division over in Hastings, something maybe you didn't see coming. Millard South was able to beat Papillion La Vista South twice last night to win the state title. And then in Omaha, Columbus was in the finals last night, but lost to Omaha Creighton Prep, but played them well. 9-6 was the final there. And so it'll be Millard North and Creighton Prep. They'll have a championship game this Saturday, and then both will go off to the Central Regional.
To me, it's very exciting. I kind of always root for the West, you know. So to have North Platte and Grand Island playing for the state championship, you wonder a little bit, is that kind of a shift in the power structure in Legion baseball? And, again, like I say, I'm rooting for the West. I'm kind of hoping that it is at least an opportunity for the West to gain a little bit of respect.
Well, we'll see how it all plays out, and congratulations there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And the Nebraska women's basketball team getting ready to take off for Australia.
Going down under, mate, eh?
So that is, as most sports are able
that's
to do, a variety of things.
That's a terrible Australian accent.
I'm
embarrassed. I just embarrassed myself then.
You're not good.
Not for that, no.
So the USA Today coaches poll, as we mentioned, out today in conjunction with Amway, now the sponsor of the coaches poll, and no surprise that Ohio State is number one in that poll. So TCU, number two. Alabama is number three in that poll as well. So
and Michigan State, and you got Michigan State number six, so within striking distance. So, again, the conference very well represented. And when we talked with Paul, the voice at Ohio State kind of talked about breaking stranglehold that the SEC had on college football and winning the first ever playoff series. Ohio State doing that really kind of invigorate a lot of energy into this conference.
Ohio State was not a unanimous number one. TCU got a vote. Alabama got a vote. How about TCU being the number two team in the country in the preseason poll, though?
Yeah, if you would have told me that 15 years ago, if you would show me this poll, I go, yeah, I can see Ohio State being up there. I can see Alabama being up there. And even Oregon was kind of coming. But TCU, Baylor, I mean, they were doormats. They were absolutely nothing. So you take a look at where Nebraska's at. Nebraska's never been as low as where TCU and Baylor was a generation ago. So is it still within striking distance for the Huskers? Absolutely it is. Absolutely.
Well, that's a look at the top five. We'll talk more about the poll. Nebraska is not in that poll. I guess that's probably not a surprise. There are a lot of these preseason publications that have them in that 25 to 35 range. Some people think that they're in that 20 to 25 range. A majority of them are just a little bit outside of that.
Yeah, and again, going back to the poll a little bit, and the point I'm kind of making, I mean, you do have your traditional powers that are still powers. You know, your Ohio States, your Alabamas, your Auburns of the world, you certainly have that. But again, we can throw some other names out there as well. Minnesota, having the respect that they are and the standing that they have within this conference, remember that Minnesota gave up 84 points back in the scoring explosion years when Nebraska played them, and they were seen as one of the worst programs in the country, and now they're up on top. So there is a little bit of transition in there, but still college football still has that royalty. You still have your USCs. They have a tremendous amount of gravitas, even though they're not rated as high as in being in the top 10. You still have that, sure, but there is some flexibility. There is some mobility in terms of who's going to be really respected, and you can move up. And that's something they've absolutely done.
Greg Sharp of the Huskers, Paul Keels, Ohio State, Drew Ott of Iowa. We expect to be one of the folks that we'll be talking to today. It's all part of the Doug and Daddy Show from Big Ten Media Days in Chicago, and we will be back with more right after this.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Crazy Burn is the latest, hottest weight loss product exclusively being sold at the Hastings, Kearney, and Grand Island GNCs. Are you looking to get fit and slim down for summer? Crazy Burn has ephedra effects resulting in more energy, appetite suppression, and amazing weight loss. Start working on that beach body today. Don't go mad hoping for something to work. Get crazy with Crazy Burn and start getting results today. Available exclusively at your Hastings GNC just north of Walmart, the Kearney GNC in the Hilltop Mall, and the Grand Island GNC in the Conestoga Mall.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farming is your livelihood, and we understand that. After all, the companies of Farm Bureau Financial Services were originally founded to serve the unique insurance and financial services needs of farmers. Contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney and learn how they make it simple to help you select the coverage that's right for you today and provide options for the future of your growing operation. Call Rich Peters or Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, it'll be mostly sunny with a high near 89. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low near 64. Friday, sunny, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, high of 88. And Friday night, partly cloudy, low at 63. Currently, it's 77.
Back in Big Ten Media Days, Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio. Representing the great state of Nebraska and taking a look at our Midtown Mark Cooler question here in a little bit. Some other Husker notes we'll hear from Paul Keel. Is going to chat with him. The voice of the national champions at Ohio State is going to sit down with us here momentarily. But Doug and Daddy at Big Ten Media Days is brought to you by Garrett Tires and Treads, celebrating 50 years of service with the Garrett Guarantee. Our Big Ten football preseason players to watch list, Red, we've talked about this while we've been in the league, and since Nebraska, Maryland, Rutgers, they have started to change a few things, expand a few things. The Big Ten no longer puts out a preseason poll, as we talked about last week. Mm-hmm. Cleveland.com does that. Nebraska was actually Monday. Nebraska was second in the West, and it was Wisconsin, Nebraska, Minnesota. On the other side, Ohio State, and then Michigan State, and then Penn State, Michigan. They don't have an official preseason all-conference team.
you got magazines to do that
right,
for you.
Right.
What they do have is a players to watch list. And what they try to do is pick five from the East and five from the West. But what happened, there was a tie in the West Division this year. And these are supposed to be the best of the best. And in the West Division, Nebraska has DeMorne Pearson-L, remember, just a sophomore, and Malik Collins, the defensive tackle, and also Drew Ott,
yeah,
our Giltner boy, the eight-man boy, as we talked about Tuesday on the show with Tom Cakert over there at Hawkeye Report. He believes that Iowa will have three players starting that played eight-man football in high school. So the dream is there. Nate Bajeda also going to be starting. But Drew Ott of Iowa, Malik Collins, and DeMorne Pearson-L of Nebraska are in the West Division, along with Corey Clement, the running back, and Michael Caputo, the safety out of Wisconsin, and running back Justin Jackson out of Northwestern. On the East Division, a pair from Michigan State, quarterback Connor Cook, and defensive end and All-American Shalik Calhoun. From Ohio State, defensive end Joey Bosa and running back Ezekiel Elliott. And then here at Media Days as well is Anthony Zettel, the defensive tackle out of Penn State. Everyone has kind of stayed away from the quarterbacks at Ohio State because they don't know which one
right
to pick, and they don't want to throw them all on there.
Yeah, and there could be the guy you pick may not even play, you know, except in a kind of a cleanup role. Because, again, I think Ohio State, I don't think they're looking at doing a platooning structure there at all. I think they're going to settle on a quarterback, and they're going to go with them and then roll from there. So a lot of questions about that, and we've got a guy here that's going to be able to answer some of that.
Well, why would I start off, Randy, with one of the big voices, big stories of college football, all the momentum, part of all the momentum that has come to the Big Ten is Ohio State capturing the national championship. And friend of ours here at the Big Ten Media Days over the last 5 years now that Nebraska's been in the conference is the voice of the Buckeyes, Paul Keels. He joins us today on the show. Great to see you again, Paul.
Nice to see you guys. Sorry that you had to go so far down the ladder to get guests that you fell to me.
A little slow this morning, ain't it?
A little slow. It's like, as I was telling one of our guys, it's like covering a golf tournament. Sitting around waiting for golfers to come in before they go to the media room. So.
Well, they made you work a little longer last year, but I'm pretty sure that you appreciated that, right? That was okay, wasn't it?
It was kind of crazy. I was telling you guys yesterday, part of the craziest with logistics and everything was, you know, with the overlap of basketball. Between the Alabama game and the Oregon game, we had a home basketball game, a two-day trip to Minnesota for a game, and then right after the Oregon game to turn around and go right to Iowa. So, but it was – I think everybody was really curious with the new playoff format. What was it going to be like? The craziness of short turnaround. And I think logistically everything worked out probably as well as it could. But, it was quite a ride to see Ohio State get, really for the Big Ten, the SEC monkey off everybody's back and beat an Alabama team that I think everybody probably thought would have been the favorite to win it. And then to beat an Oregon team that really was on a roll, and it really looked so impressive against Florida State. And for Ohio State to do it with all of the different things that happened, the quarterback injuries, you know, tragically they had a death to one of the players on mm-hmm. the team that occurred right after the Michigan game. There were so many chapters about that season that really Doug made it so special.
What's interesting to me is Nebraska. People talk about Nebraska, and, you know, you don't have a pro team, you don't have that. Well, there's a lot of pro teams in the great state of Ohio. Give us a sense, and maybe this is a bad year to ask this question coming off a national championship, but where is Ohio State football in the consciousness of the state?
You know, Randy, I think it's always very high, and a lot of it because the two pro football teams you have are on the opposite ends of the state, with Columbus being right in the middle. And I think what you find is it's a nice compliment from college to pro, because you'll have the folks on Sundays, whether it's the Bengals or the Browns, that get all caught up in that. But on Saturdays, really, throughout the state. Now, southwestern Ohio is a little different because you have the Notre Dame influence, mm-hmm. the University of Cincinnati, the Kentucky influence. But it really is on Saturdays where people just kind of focus in on what it is that Ohio State's doing, whether it's coming off a national championship season, contending for one, or if it's a season in which there's an awful lot of questions and some struggles. So I think Ohio State football always really kind of has its own different place. Once Saturday's done and it turns to Sunday, then it's, you know, it's the loud noise about the Bengals or the Browns, or, you know, lately it's been when neither of them had done as well as people would think. But Ohio State football always kind of has its own unique place, but it's pretty high in the order.
Talking with the voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes, Paul Keels, here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN. We've covered the Huskers long enough that we were there during the national championship season, something that I would say is similar to where you guys are right now, with so many undefeated seasons that you were ineligible. Now you finally were able to get the national title. You see all these All-Americans on the preseason watch list. Urban's the hottest commodity out there. Is there any holes in this Ohio State team heading into fall ball in game one?
Well, I think they're more in the way, Doug, of questions rather than holes. You know, you're looking obviously at replacing your two starting wide receivers, but there's a group of receivers that have played an awful lot. When you think about, you know, if Braxton Miller does do some receiving work, but then Jalen Marshall, Michael Thomas, who really was a big factor last year, Noah Brown, who had a really good spring. So there's a lot of components there that can be part of it. They're replacing one offensive lineman, but it looks like Chase Ferris has really kind of grabbed a hold of that position. I think another question is going to be getting depth to tailback behind Ezekiel Elliott, because you really don't have somebody that has really shown they can be a big down type of back. And on the defensive side, they lost some crucial defensive linemen, but that's an area where they had a lot of depth. So I think that's an area that you won't see much drop off. And, you know, and they lose Duran Grant at corner, but Garyon Conley is somebody that they've really liked the way he's progressed. So I wouldn't say holes, but questions, just to see how some people handle some different roles.
And national titles don't have holes. I forgot about that.
And one of the questions I think is going to be the most obvious is who's going to be the quarterback. You know, Braxton Miller said he wants to play a little wide receiver, but obviously JT Barrett, Cardale Jones, both filled in for him admirably with the various injuries. Where is that, and are they concerned that, because sometimes when there's the battle for the starting quarterback position, you get two different camps in the locker room. Where does the team kind of approach this? How do you see this?
Well, Randy, I think the first thing, you know, with the news that came out about Braxton last week, really the coaches have not kind of come out and said, yes, that is what's going to happen, because they've not been at a point where the coaches have been able to work with them. And also Braxton's comments has been practicing at receiver in anticipation of being ready to play quarterback. So I think that door is still kind of open there. But because of what happened last year, I think that there's not divided camps. I think they've seen how important it is to have more than one quarterback that can win you big games. And really, that even goes back the last couple of years. If you think when, you know, Kenny Guyton came off the bench a few times and helped Ohio State in crucial times when Braxton had been injured previously. But as far as who it's going to be and guesstimates and things like that, you can look at it for the two main players involved. They're not in a position to win a national championship if JT Barrett doesn't have the season that he has, and puts them in a position for Cardale Jones to play as well as he did in those three big games. Probably what it's going to come down to is this coaching staff has said in the spring, probably by the second week of summer camp, they're going to have to make a decision so they can divide the practice reps up. But they have a lot more confidence in where the offensive line is. We know what Ezekiel Elliott is as a running threat. So I think there's some more known commodities going into this year, as opposed to 10 days before the season started last year when they lost Braxton Miller. Barrett was going to be the starter. You didn't know what you had with Barrett, and you didn't know what you had in some other areas. So I know that doesn't really answer the question, Randy, but but I think the good thing is there's not divided camps. It doesn't appear, and it doesn't sound like there are players that want one guy as opposed to the other guy. So there's not going to be any issues in that regard, I don't think.
And last minute here with the voice of the Buckeyes, Paul Keels. Paul, would you say that Braxton is still hurt, wouldn't have been able to fill that quarterback role, thus the move?
Well, that's kind of reading between the lines, Doug. You know, the shoulder. And remember, the shoulder has been injured twice. He injured it in the Orange Bowl against Clemson and then injured it before the season started last year. So, yeah, there's got to be some concern there. However, this is a guy that obviously brings some great skill to the game. And, you know, he's got to be thinking probably about if there's a chance for him to play beyond Ohio State. I think a lot of people are guessing it's not at the quarterback position. So is this going to help him in that regard? But, you know, just with pure athletic ability, he can do some things to help this football team if it's not the quarterback position. And think if you're a defensive coordinator and you see Braxton Miller on the field with both JT Barrett and or Cardale Jones at the same time, that gives you nightmares.
14-1 last year, the one loss was at home to Virginia Tech. That's who Ohio State starts the season with on the road. Payback time?
Well, you know, Randy, and I've had a chance to go to Virginia Tech when I did games at University of Cincinnati. They played them quite often. And Lane Stadium in Blacksburg is a great atmosphere. And that being Labor Day night, that's going to be a zoo. You guys can just imagine what that's like. But the fact that that is the one team that Ohio State lost to, you got to think this coaching staff's not going to have to do a lot of motivating to get this team ready for that game, going into what should be a crazy atmosphere. You know, and that's going to probably be kind of the message is for this team to stay hungry. And, you know, in the following weeks, they play Western Michigan, Hawaii, and Northern Illinois. It probably works best that it's Virginia Tech just because of what happened last year.
Okay, we'll let you out of here with this final thing, kind of a personal deal. You got to call a national championship game, which is awesome, but you got to go to all the places, and Ohio State's going to love the format because they wouldn't have been in last year under the old format. But what was maybe the coolest part of that month of December and January for you and your broadcast crew?
You know, just to see this team, you know, the Alabama game and the Oregon games were phenomenal games, but to see them really rise up in the Big Ten championship game and beat a very good Wisconsin team the way they beat them, and kind of going in, I think everybody really felt like they were going to have to make a statement and to be able to put themselves in the position to be in that playoff. And they did. You know, the questions with the quarterback and Cardale Jones coming in and showing off his great arm and everything. That whole thing was neat. And when the Big Ten championship game was over, guys, I mean, everybody thought, well, they put themselves in. It's like, well, you weren't convinced because you still had the whole Baylor-TCU episode to play out. But just seeing that they showed up in that game and against, again, a Wisconsin team that I think a lot of people had a lot of regard for. Now, Wisconsin and their line was really banged up at that point of the year. But to see them put on that kind of display against a good opponent, that's something that kind of sticks in my mind an awful lot.
Well, the only chance Big Red gets to play Ohio State is if we're in Indianapolis in December. I'll take that.
That'd be good.
That'd be okay.
You know, it's a shame.
Love to see you then.
Two games and then off the schedule right away. I mean, it was so great to get Nebraska into the Big Ten, and then, you know, these programs don't see one another. But we'll come back around to that soon.
Have fun with Maryland and Rutgers.
Oh, always.
Paul Keels, voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes. Paul, thanks for the time.
My pleasure, guys.
Thanks, Paul. Paul Keels. Always great to catch up with him throughout the season, but especially here on the opening day of Big Ten Media Days. Ohio State has a lot of the pieces.
Yeah, we talked to him last night, and yeah, he certainly does. They do have a lot of the pieces. You know, you look at them, they've got, I think, 24 returning starters back, including three guys that were starting quarterbacks at one time or another. So they're going to have depth there at the most important position. We look at the watch list. You know, Ohio State's got their fingerprints all up and down that, both sides of the ball. They were solid on special teams, got a lot of talent there in terms of who's returning punts and kicks. There's a reason they're rated number one in the country. I mean, they are deep, they're experienced, and they're loaded for bear.
Phil Steele has seven Ohio State Buckeyes on his preseason All-American list from first to fourth team. Seven members that he considers basically NFL draftees.
And when you have that, you make everybody else better because they're going to practice against them and they're going to see how it's done. They're going to have that leadership. They've got that from top to bottom. Ohio State certainly has flipped the script in terms of the respect that people have for the Big Ten Conference. And without a doubt, they are the team to beat this year in the country. Now, all those SEC teams, they are aiming. They are gunning for a Big Ten team instead of it being the other way around.
Big Ten Media Days, Doug and Dabby style, brought to you by the Catholic Diocese of Grand Island, serving the Catholic families of central and western Nebraska. We will take a look at our Midtown Mark Cooler question, hear from the voice of the Huskers, Greg Sharp, and Bob Hamer is the greatest man on the face of the earth.
Wow.
Bob Hamer, the Grand Island Independent, knows that we can't get lunch, and so he brings it down to us. We'll find a time to chow on that down. Hello, and now he wants a tip. Here's a quarter.
I got a tip for you, Bob.
We got to buy Bob dinner again tonight, I guess. So Bob Hamer of the Independent, got to look out for each other. Appreciate that with Bob. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show, voice of the Huskers, Greg Sharp, and more with the players and the coaches as they start to filter in here in Chicago right after this.
Where you're a neighbor, not a number, we're Custom Pack.
This week at Custom Pack of Hastings, get fresh center-cut smoked pork chops, only $3.98 a pound. An 8-ounce portion of boneless Alaskan salmon fillets, only $2.95 each. And deli fresh homemade potato salad, only $1.49 a pound. It's all at Custom Pack of Hastings.
At Custom Pack, you're a neighbor, not a number.
Prairie Hills Golf Course, located just 10 short miles north of Kearney on Highway 10, is under new management. Prairie Hills Golf Course is a beautiful course nestled on 132 acres of rolling hills that makes for a fun and challenging golf experience. And they have the lowest 18-hole rates in the area. Call to reserve your tee time now or call to ask about their upcoming leagues. Just call Justin at 308-388-5115 at Prairie Hills Golf Course. That's 308-388-5115.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
Make it lunch today at Fauner Park's Finish Line Restaurant and Sports Lounge. Choose from a fantastic menu of sandwiches, salads, and burgers. Full bar service, and you can play Keno and watch and wager on coast-to-coast thoroughbred racing. Then on Sunday, Triple Crown winner American Pharoah takes on the million-dollar Haskell Invitational at Monmouth Park. Great weekend of action entertainment at the Finish Line, number one for food and fun.
Enroll your kindergarten through fifth grader in the Hastings Family Y After School Fun Club. Your kiddos will enjoy snack time, adventure challenges, art and science projects, help with homework, and gym time. Member rate $40 per week. Registration due by August 1st. Non-member rate $45 per week. Registration due by August 6th. Transportation available for an additional $10 per week. For more information, call 463-3139. The Hastings Y After School Fun Club, where imagination flourishes.
At John Deere, we know you wouldn't buy a car without taking it for a spin. And it's, well, just a car. So you'll definitely want to get behind the wheel and test drive the brand new John Deere S240 Sport. Equipped with a powerful V-twin engine and heavy-duty hydrostatic transmission. Available exclusively at your local John Deere dealer.
Find your full line of John Deere products at Oregon Trail Equipment. With locations in Hastings, Fairfield, Hebron, Red Cloud, Superior, and Marysville, Kansas.
Doug and Daddy Show back at Chicago Hyatt McCormick Place. We've been over at the Hilton. This is where we were the first 2 years when Nebraska joined the conference, and we were a little more downtown on Michigan Avenue and the cool old Chicago Hilton. And this year we're back over here at the McCormick Place with a lot going on for Big Ten Media Days. Brought to you by the Kearney Chicken Coop, home of hot wings and cold beer. A lot of places say they're a sports bar and grill, but no one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you here. We heard from Paul Keels. Talked to him just about 5 minutes ago here on the show. The voice of the Huskers, Greg Sharp, will be running down some more players. And again, just if you're just joining us at Big Ten Media Days, things really don't get going till about noon. And it's always grab and pick, and it's a free-for-all. I'm not telling you any different. So
yeah.
We may get five guys all at the same time. We may be quiet for a little bit. I do know that we'll be jam-packed tomorrow because we'll have a lot of work going on this afternoon, and we'll have the Huskers on tomorrow because tomorrow is Nebraska's day. That's why we thought we'd catch up with Greg Sharp on today's program. Hey, folks, if you're looking for a great, great golf tournament and a beautiful course to play on, the granddaddy of them all, the 88th Annual Southwest Open, is August 8th and 9th at the Holdridge Country Club. Entry fee, $95 per person, but you get a free practice round on Friday. That covers almost half of it right there. Then the golf on Saturday and Sunday, free range balls if you want to work out and hit a few balls before your round. Dinner on Saturday night, always a lively Calcutta. Now, if you do want to rent a cart, you do have to make arrangements, but they will have carts for you available for an additional fee. You can print off a registration and find all the details online at holdridgecc.com, or you can sign up today, enter today for the 88th Annual Southwest Open August 8th and 9th by calling the Holdridge Country Club, 308-995-5744. One of the oldest and best tournaments around, especially when it comes to opens, the Holdridge Country Club and the annual Southwest Open, 308-995-5744. And timing is everything,
yeah,
isn't it,
Randy? Yeah, it is. Yeah. We just missed the opportunity to kind of get Paul's reaction to the fact that Ohio State has four players, including arguably their best defensive player, being suspended for their season opener against Virginia Tech.
And again, it's Virginia Tech who beat them last year. It's not Podunk U. And this is from Tim May. I'm going with there's a variety of things out there on Twitter. And if you're attached to it like some sports fans are, you may have seen this in the last 10 minutes. But Ohio State All-American defensive end Joey Bosum, hybrid back Jaleen Marshall, who are both on Phil Steele's All-Americans. Bosa, first-team All-American. Marshall, as a returner, a third-team All-American. Receiver Corey Smith and Dontre Wilson have all been suspended in their season opener at Virginia Tech due to unspecified violations of athletic department policy. Ohio State confirmed that to the Columbus Dispatch earlier this morning. Tim May breaking the story. Tim's who we had on to preview Ohio State last week. Tim, one of the best in the business, very professional. And then the story goes on to talk about backups and who could fill in. And again, as we were talking a little bit there with Paul, the depth is there in most positions. The depth is there for Ohio State.
But
so,
you don't necessarily replace those guys. There are players to watch within the conference. Bosa, those are some big shoes to fill. Yes, they'll have somebody in there that's quality, but that is going to be a step back. And again, I can almost hear what Paul would tell us, and that is, I know they're not going to worry about focus. I mean, now you've got to do it for those other guys and kind of pick up next man up kind of mentality for Ohio State, but that's still a blow. You just don't replace those guys immediately and not think that you're going to have some sort of drop-off there at all. To me, it says something about the discipline. I think there's a kind of a reputation maybe for Urban Meyer just kind of, I don't want to say looking the other way, but being fairly soft when it comes to discipline. I think that's an image. I don't know if it's completely accurate. And if you want to say that it's not accurate, there's some pretty good evidence right there because it's unspecified, basically team rules, school policies.
And it is Ohio State and Urban Meyer here at Big Ten Media Days today. So we'll see what the coach says, what the reaction is to all of that for Ohio State. And maybe it explains a little bit of why Bosa's not here.
Yeah.
You know, usually these suspension things come out right before practice, but we're predetermined
you know
a month
that it's
ago.
There. Yeah, you
know
it's coming.
The coach knew, the player knew.
Yeah.
But the Columbus Dispatch reports it. And Bosa, a junior, had 13 and a half sacks, half sack short of the school record. He was named to the Big Ten as the Big Ten's Defensive Player of the Year, Defensive Lineman of the Year, finalist for three major awards in the Lombardi, the Outlet, the Hendricks. He's graced the cover of a ton of magazines. NFL analysts have him forecast to be among the top three players to go in the draft next season. If he foregoes his senior season, they have Bosa as a first-round top five draft pick. So, again, guys make mistakes. We'll see what this is exactly about. It could be a whole variety of things.
It could be real
education
minor.
To other things.
Yeah.
Those four will miss the Ohio State-Virginia Tech game, which will be played on Labor Day.
Well, it could be something as minor as some sort of ticket violation, gave one of those guest tickets to somebody that they shouldn't have, which isn't really that big of a deal. I mean, it can be very, very small. You got to do something about it. And I don't think it's anything huge. I don't think we're looking at anything that's going to be a long-term suspension. I wouldn't think. Or they'd already be in that direction, and they would say it'd be something different than what it is. Obviously, it's a behavioral thing, but I don't think it's anything that generally would make notice if it was a trombone player in the band. You know, if it was the guy dot in the eye, you know, I don't think necessarily it would be one of those things that would be of note. But we'll see. But I don't really know that right now.
Doug and Danny Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, live from Big Ten Media Days in Chicago, keeping an eye on what's going on. And that's the first one to break, and that was pretty quick. Usually this happens. When we come to Media Days, usually there is a story right out of the gate, and that is our story this year. Ohio State, four players, including two pretty big-time starters, suspended for Virginia Tech.
Well, and again, there's that long window of if there's a potential of some sort of behavior issue, if there's some sort of potential of some educational problem on campus, you have that long window of about 8 months since the last time these guys played football. And so usually that first game, BYU is going to be without some players because of their actions in the bowl. We haven't heard exactly what BYU is going to have for their opening game against Nebraska as well. So those first games, it is not unusual at all that you'll have a number of players who are not eligible to play week one for somebody. I think most college football games probably have one person, whether it's a major player or not, that probably you're not playing for whatever reason.
Well, let's take a look at our Midtown Mart Cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. You can vote on our Midtown Mart Cooler question anytime at ESPNSuperstation.com, ESPNSuperstation.com. We asked you coming into Chicago about baseball, who has made the best trades to make a deep playoff run, and obviously the hometown or central part of the United States all over the Royals, although a little bit of a split vote. 58% said the Royals, 25% said the Astros, 17% said the Blue Jays have made the best trades here coming up to what the deadline is tomorrow to make a deep run in the playoffs. Today we ask you, what are you most looking forward to from Big Ten Media Days? Hearing from the coaches, hearing from the players, or all things Huskers? Vote now on our Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com, ESPNSuperstation.com.
Can I guess which one's going to be number one on that deal? I bet C, all things Huskers. That's why we're here, right? I have a feeling that's going to be our overwhelming winner on that.
You might also get to hear a few things from the certain coaches that you can do a great job with. So we'll see how she all plays out. Vote now. What are you most looking forward to from Big Ten Media Days? Hearing from the coaches, hearing from the players, or just all things Huskers? Vote now on our Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. And if you like all things Huskers, then you like the voice of the Huskers, Greg Sharp. We'll hear from him and more from Big Ten Media Days in Chicago right after this.
Keep calm and Kool-Aid on. The Kool-Aid Days Festival comes to the Hastings campus of Central Community College Saturday, August 8th. You'll find a day full of fun and great feature entertainment. Start your day at 10 o'clock with the wacky and wild String Beans, sure to bring out the kid in all of us. Grab some lunch and enjoy the 60s girl group harmonies of the Sha-La-Las at 12:30. Wrap it all up with the tropical rock vibe of Soca Jukebox at 7. Bring a chair, buy a Kool-Aid mug, and spend your day at Kool-Aid Days Saturday, August 8th on the Hastings campus of Central Community College. New location, same great weekend. KoolAidDays.com.
The reality of today's real estate market is that there are more buyers than listings. Preparation plus the resources afforded by OneRocky.com can put you in the home you want, while delaying could cost you both dollars and the home you want. OneRocky.com, the right website. OneRocky.com, the right smartphone app. Rocky Geyser, the right real estate agent.
This is Rocky Geyser. If you're not on OneRocky.com, you're not on the right website.
If you care, call Rocky Geyser, because he does. OneRocky.com.
Raxum Clay is August 15th at the Heartland Shooting Park. Hornaday Manufacturing is the presenting sponsor for the 23rd Annual Platte River Charity Shoot, benefiting Goodwill and the services they provide to people living with disabilities or barriers to working and living independently. There's something for everyone with youth, adult, individual, and team competitions. Scholarships awarded to winners of the youth division. Platte River Charity Shoot is sponsored by Rasmussen & Associates, Five Points Bank, and Hornaday Manufacturing. Sign up today at goodwillne.org.
Holden, you haven't moved in hours.
I know. I need to exercise, but I don't have the motivation.
It's not like you have to run 10 miles or do 1,000 push-ups. All it takes is some physical activity. A short walk, a bike ride, or some disc golf.
That's it?
Just 30 minutes a day will add years to your life.
Wow. I can find that much time every day to be active. It might even be kind of fun.
For more information and helpful resources, check out ActivateBuffaloCounty.com, powered by Buffalo County Community Partners and Safe Routes to School.
And welcome back here to Chicago, Big Ten Media Days. You know, kind of making the rounds, just hanging out with the...
Trying to find some people.
We're working on it. And got a pretty good one coming up here in terms of actually being able to talk a little bit of Huskers with the voice of the Huskers.
Yeah, Greg Sharp going to join us here in just a moment. Big Ten Media Days brought to you in part by Garrett Tires and Treads, celebrating 50 years of service with the Garrett Guarantee. We'll be here the next couple of days, and then bringing back quite a few interviews for the month of August, leading us up to the actual start of football. Fan Day coming up, by the way, Wednesday night in Lincoln.
It is kind of exciting because we really get a chance to really get to know the rest of the teams, kind of the atmosphere that you run into with, from Rutgers on one end of the spectrum to Iowa, our neighbor just to the east of us, and get a nice idea of what the programs mean, what they look like, good opportunity to talk to the coaches, and some of them are a little bit harder to get a hold of. Your D'Antonios of the world are kind of busy with everybody else, but it's great to really get a good sense of our friends and neighbors in the rest of the Big Ten Conference, which now runs about halfway through the country.
Opening day for Husker practice will be on Thursday, August the 6th. They will go night practices for Coach Riley. Night practices for the first few days of fall ball. First couple of weeks, they'll get into fall ball at 7 o'clock at night before school ramps up and get into their regular routine.
I'm sure that's kind of a heat thing, and I like it myself. I think that that's, you know, there's that old school football mentality of you got to sweat it out, you know, take a salt tablet and get out there. That we've come to kind of find that that wears on the body after a while. That leads to injury. That leads to kids getting burned out. It just isn't as effective. If it ever was effective, and I'm not sure it ever was, it makes a whole lot more sense to kind of do it this way and take care of people's bodies get things done. You want to make sure that they're energized enough that you really can work them hard in practice and just have that that draining being a more natural way instead of just being caused by the heat.
It'll be a different way to cover it too. I mean, the media guys like to work it in the afternoon, get their work done. This will make late nights for them. TV guys will probably like it. They'll have some pretty good live stuff on the late show.
Yeah, they'll be able to do it that way. So it'll spin things since we're here at Media Day. We'll kind of look at things from the media perspective, and it will look a little bit different. But I think it's just it's a good plan. It's also a good opportunity for the coaching staff maybe to have some meetings and things like that in the morning. And I don't want to say keep the kids out of trouble because, you know, 99.999% of those kids during the season – during the time that they're practicing, going to be too busy with everything else anyway to get themselves in trouble in the first place. But it's a good idea, a good way to kind of build some camaraderie, spending the evenings with your teammates like that.
Well, the Husker coaches and football team will not arrive here at Big Ten Media Days until tomorrow. But the voice of the Huskers, Greg Sharp, kind enough to join us here, host of Sports Nightly, which you can hear nightly on our sister station, 1230 KHAS. And kind of the calm before the storm, the new format. It's a little quiet this morning, Greg, but at least we can start it off with what our listeners want to hear about most of all, and that's the Huskers. How's the summer been?
Summer's been great. I'm kind of glad that we don't start this season until September the 5th. Gives me an extra little week of summer, but it's been good. Certainly looking forward to the year, though.
What about this season are you looking most forward to? I mean, obviously the change of leadership, there's a lot of things in general, but what in particular are you kind of looking for?
I will say this. This will be my eighth football season. This is probably the most unknown that I've gone into a season kind of feeling like I have a handle on a lot of things because of all the things you mentioned. New staff, new philosophies on offense, defense. We need to identify new playmakers. I mean, number eight's gone. I mean, we're going to miss him. I mean, he did so much for this football team the last couple of years. Who's going to make some of those plays? So there's a lot of question marks. It's a big August coming up for this staff and this football team to develop some roles, define some things about this team. So there's a lot of question marks, a lot of unknowns about this team. That's kind of exciting, though, because I think there is talent there. It's just, how's it all going to come together?
We've talked a lot about who will get that running back role since before spring ball began. But as the fall rolls around, that first couple days, that first week, usually if you're at practice every day, you're going to learn something. What specifically will you be looking at?
Well, yeah, you're going to see who's getting reps. And you know, I think during spring, Terrell Newby got a bulk of the reps with the ones. And I understand that. Terrell's a guy that's been in the program and has made plays the last couple of years. Imani Cross, I think they've already identified as the guy they want for that short yardage, for that goal line set. But I want to see Adam Taylor and Mikhail Wilbon. I think those two teased us enough with what we saw in the spring and what I saw from Mikhail last fall when he redshirted, that I think those guys could be every down backs. So I'm hoping that they get some reps and raise the level of their play and so that they get on the radar for the coaches during the August practice sessions.
Hey, Gary, you kind of mentioned all the question marks that are out there with the new coaching staff and everything. I always think it's interesting how Coach Riley used Jaquizz Rodgers, and I think of DeMornay personnel, and I think about all the things that they can kind of do there. To me, that's a very intriguing thing to be looking at before we have the first game.
No question. You know, they quickly identified DeMornay as a big-time playmaker, and they will use him a lot. They love that jet motion series. That's a big part of Oregon State's package the last couple of years, and we saw it a lot in the spring. So DeMornay is going to get his hands on a football a lot, and they're going to get creative with the ways to use him. And I talked about trying to find new playmakers. DeMornay obviously is. So you've got to try to get him injected in the offense in a lot of different ways. And so that'll be fun to see how Danny Langsdorf and Coach Riley figure out ways to get DeMornay the ball.
Voice of the Huskers, Greg Sharp, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're at Big Ten Media Days here in Chicago. That's where we're at, right?
We're in Chicago.
You got your pizza last night.
I got my pizza, so we're set.
Nice.
So did you get your pizza, Gary?
I did last night, yeah.
Greg, as you take a look at specifically the biggest difference from the Pelini regime to what you saw just in the spring, what would a couple of those be?
Oh, you know, I think there's a different approach to practice a little bit. I think that I love the way they broke the team in half and kind of did two different sessions. That gave them a chance to really learn about each of the guys in this football team. That was creative and new, and I hadn't seen that happen. I know it's been several places around the country they've done that. We hadn't seen that at Nebraska. I like that approach because they really wanted to kind of pull the curtain back on all these guys and see what they can do. That was the best way to do it. They saw a ton of reps out of everybody in this football team, so I like that. I think, you know, there's certainly different philosophies. I think you're going to see a lot more huddling up, which we haven't seen. We don't hardly see that in college football at all, but we're going to see that at Nebraska.
Thank God, because that'll give Davison more time to chat.
Sure, yeah. Work in his tales of his Friday night exploits. So, yeah, that'll be fun for Matt to have that. But, yeah, so there'll be different rhythm and pace to the game. Mark Banker certainly has a different philosophy on defense than what Bo and John Papuchas had a year ago. Mark's going to, I think, dedicate more guys stopping the run. He's going to play more man coverage on the outside, where Bo was more of a bracket zone type guy in the back end. So I think you're going to see some tweaks in that area. And now you have a full-time special teams coach, which that's a different thing than what we've seen with Husker football, with Coach Reed being the special teams coach. So there's some different ways to attack this thing, and I'm anxious to see how it unfolds.
You kind of talked about the differences between the two coaches. We're at Big Ten Media Days. I think the media aspect is going to be completely different under Mike Riley as well. Talk about that a little bit.
You know, Coach is, he's kind of soft-spoken. He gives you long answers, which sometimes as broadcasters you're kind of glad for, because it gives you more time to think of your next question. Where Bo, particularly after some of those tough losses, Bo was pretty short with some of his responses. But he's very thoughtful, very pleasant, very approachable. He's all those type of things. So, yeah, from a media standpoint, he'll do really well here, I think, tomorrow when he gets here.
As the voice of the Huskers, the controversy from the Sports Nightly or anything like that is something that is not going to be talked about. But you personally and your team, how different was it to cover Nebraska this spring and summer as opposed to the last few years?
You know, and I don't want people to think I was really good friends with Bo. Mm-hmm. I had a great relationship with him, and I think we all did. And you know, we're upset that it didn't succeed to the level we all wanted it to. So no ill feelings at all toward Bo Pelini. But Mike Ryan and his staff have been great to deal with. So it's going to be fun to be around these guys, and I think it's going to be interesting fall for Husker fans to see how this group kind of blends in a little bit. You know, they've been amazed at how much attention Husker football gets around the state. We all don't, because we all know everybody lives and breathes it, but they're all kind of like, wow, they know the name of the third string left tackle, and the fans, so they're amazed by this. Wait till they see game day. I mean, their eyes are going to be this big when they come out for that BYU game.
Yeah, you kind of talked about that. I mean, folks back home very interested in where Riker Fife is. Uh-huh. I mean, just that passion that's there is really unique.
You know, Coach Riley came in and did an hour on Sports Nightly after the spring season ended. I think it was late April, and his administrative assistant tagged along, and she was sitting in the room with him, and we hit our first commercial break, and she goes, I don't even need to be here. She goes, everything you're saying, Coach, is on Twitter. Because everybody's retweeting what he's saying. She goes, I could just be in my home right now and follow, know exactly what you said on this show. She goes, this is unbelievable. And I go, you're just getting started. Wait till we get in the season.
Tip of the iceberg. Yeah. Greg Sharp with us here, the voice of the Huskers and Sports Nightly. The perception, I believe, is such a diverse between how strong the East Division is and the West. I've said it many times. I say it to all the guests so they know where I'm coming from. I don't see it happening this year for Nebraska, but then the more and more we get closer to the season, maybe I don't see it happening for a lot of these teams in the West. How's your feeling before spring ball or before fall ball about where this team is?
Well, I think the West is – I think there's three teams that can win the West. I think Nebraska is certainly one of those, Wisconsin, and I like what Jerry Kill's done at Minnesota. I think he's done a great job. You're right. There's a disparity right now between – the East and the West. You have Ohio State and Michigan State, who are two national title contenders. I don't think anybody in the West has the roster or the makeup to do that. I think you have some good teams. I think you could have a 9 or 10 win team or two 9 and 10 win teams come out of the West, but they're probably not quite to the level of where the Buckeyes or the Spartans are right now. But that changes from year to year, so that may just be here in 2015. But the West is going to be interesting how it unfolds, and there's no doubt those two games for Nebraska in mid-October are going to be huge. Back-to-back weeks, Wisconsin and Minnesota, that's going to really determine whether Nebraska is in this race when you get into November. They win both, they're in great shape. They split, they're probably okay. They don't come out with a win in either one, their chances of winning the West are going to be over.
Conference seems like a work in progress to me a little bit in that, you know, we've expanded and we've come up with these divisions and everything like that. in the wings improving. You anticipate Michigan getting better down the road. You anticipate Penn State kind of getting back to where they were down the road as well. When you factor those two in the East, are we looking long-term that maybe they're going to have to realign the conference?
Maybe. You know, we heard that talk a lot in the Big 12. You know, it went through cycles, because when the Big 12 was formed back in the mid-90s, you guys will all remember, Nebraska, Colorado, and Kansas State were the kings. Texas was struggling. Mack Brown hadn't been hired. And Oklahoma was going through John Blake and all those Mickey Mouse games they played for a while. So the strength was in the North. And then it switched to the South when Bob Stoops got there and Mack Brown got it rolling at Texas. So I think these things go back and forth. Right now, though, and you're right, I think Michigan and Penn State are certainly on the come. And so it's up to the West to kind of raise up their games a little bit. And that's the plan of Mike Rodd and the Huskers, to get right in that fray.
Greg Sharp with us for another couple minutes here for Media Day's Voice of the Huskers. So Coach Riley's not taking over a team that was bad.
No.
So how everybody's window's a little different. How long does one – I'm not trying to put pressure on Coach Riley. The question's not going to come out, I guess, as I mean it. But how long do you think it's going to take for the Huskers to be where the fans want it to be?
Well, I think you nailed it right there. I think this is Nebraska football. Nebraska football has won at least 9 games each of the last 7 years. That shouldn't go backwards. There's talent on this team. You just saw it today. They put out the watch list of the top 7 players in the West. 2 of them are Huskers in DeMornay and Malik. This team has talent. So there's not a lot of wiggle room here for Coach Rodney. He knows that. He knows the expectations, and the bar of expectations pretty high in Nebraska. He better keep it right there. I don't know if this team's a national championship caliber type team or a team that's in the Final Four, but it shouldn't be too far behind that. So I don't think there should be a long rope at all. This is Nebraska. This is where we expect to have great football teams, and it's why Bo Pelini's no longer here. He couldn't get above that 9-10 wins plateau.
And it seems to me Coach Riley is kind of used to kind of being in the shadows a little bit with the program that Oregon's been able to put together with Phil Knight and everything like that. And obviously those teams in the East that are casting the shadow. This is not really a new situation for Coach Riley.
It's not. He's been through everything. He head coach in the Canadian Football League, head coach of the San Diego Chargers. You're head coach of the National Football League. You're spotlight all over you. So he's used to this. He knows what he's getting into. I think he's at the stage in his career. He wanted that one last big challenge and get a chance to get kind of a blue blood program to run. He's excited about it, and I think you guys will see that when he gets here tomorrow. He's excited and looking forward to this thing.
Greg, we'll talk a little bit tomorrow when we have Jordan Westerkamp on, but you've got Brandon Riley coming back. Sam Burch, he's on the All-State Good Works team, who was injured last year. Not a lot of talk about the wide receivers except that who's going to replace Kenny Bell. Armstrong, a year and a half under his belt. A lot of people think he's going to take a big step forward. I'm one of those. I think he kind of gets poo-pooed and underrated and all those kind of things. He's going to have to play well. What do you think about that wide receiver position? Could it be dynamic with some of the boys surprising?
No question. You didn't mention DeMornay. I mean, put DeMornay in there with those
DeMornay's
guys as well.
A given.
So, you know, DeMornay and Jordan and Tariq Allen's a guy that we've seen make plays. Jamal Turner's back for, a sixth year in Nebraska. And he's a guy who's made plays in his career and has the ability to do that. And then they brought in 2 freshmen that I think are going to get a crack. Alston and Morgan, 2 true freshmen who have been here during the summer. Because of some losses we've had at that position since the spring ball ended, those two now have a chance, I think, to get on the field and make some plays for Nebraska. I love that group. I think it's an underrated group, and I think you're going to see. And don't sleep on Lane Hovey, the walk-on kid from Iowa who made some plays a year ago. I talked to Coach Williams last week about him, and he likes him a lot. I think that group's going to be really competitive. I think it's the best wide receiver group in the West. It's maybe it didn't quite stack up to 1 or 2 of the teams in the East, but it's a good, good group.
A lot of questions on defense. There always is every year. But with the Blackshirts, it seems to me that they're changing things a little bit in terms of trying to simplify things. I think Coach Pelini loved the defense, loved the X's and O's, was really a professor of it. And I want to tip my hat for that. But I think sometimes it was a little bit complicated. I think now things are going to simplify a little bit, and it's going to make for an entirely different-looking defense.
Yeah, and I think in some ways he knows he has to do that because there are going to be some true freshmen playing a linebacker just by out of necessity because there's so few guys, scholarship guys, that are upperclassmen. You have Banderas and Michael Rose Ivy. But outside of that, there's going to be a couple of true freshmen that play, and I think you're going to have to try to make it fairly simple for them early so that they can get on the field and grasp what you're trying to do. It is a different philosophy. I'm anxious to see it unfold and see how this works with Coach Banker, what he tries to put out there against BYU on the 5th.
And, Greg, let's wrap it up. BYU, This is going to be a little different than most openers. How much have you looked at them? What do you think of this non-conference schedule and how the Huskers get out of the chute? Give us a little prediction. Give us a little opinion here.
Offensively, BYU is legit. Taysom Hill is a really good player. He got hurt about the end of the first month of the season last year, and at that time he was still being looked at as kind of a Heisman candidate. He's really a good quarterback. Nebraska will have their hands full with them. Defensively, Nebraska ought to be able to do some things against that defense of BYU. But that offense will be a challenge. And Husker, you're right, this isn't Florida Atlantic or Tennessee Chattanooga or some of those teams coming in here week one. BYU's got a nice football team. This will be a fun opener.
Sports Nightly, every night on 1230 KHAS, Six Bells, and the voice of the Huskers, Greg Sharp, kind enough to join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Greg, stay busy the next couple days. We'll see you in Lincoln.
Absolutely. Guys, have me back sometime, would you?
We'll do. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. Greg Sharp joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Glad to have him along. So there you go. A little preview, Huskers, Ohio State, here at Big Ten Media Days in Chicago. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter, brought to you by the Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, home of hot wings and cold beer. No one combines the best of a sports bar and grill like the Kearney Chicken Coop.
I forgot to ask Greg where he had pizza last night. I forgot to ask him. I mean, our pizza was fine, but I could use an upgrade. I would do it again. We've talked about this. We've covered this.
Yeah, we went to a couple pizza places, and the one that was an hour and 15-minute wait. Then they got to cook the pizza. Come on.
Yeah, cool. So hour
on a Wednesday
and 15
night in Chicago.
Yeah.
Wednesday night.
And the place then we went to and had a meeting didn't have a line. And I think there was a reason the line at the other place might have been longer. Just saying.
You got to quit letting you choose.
Oh, no. That is not what you did not want to make a decision last night. Pizza was still good. Was it not? It was still good.
Oh, yeah. It was great. It was great.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We've got more from Big Ten Media Days coming up right after this.
SportsCenter.
Good afternoon. I'm Mike Will, a SportsCenter update on ESPN. Well, Nebraska will start the football season not ranked for the first time since 2008, according to the Amway Coaches Poll released this morning. Ohio State is ranked number one, followed by TCU, Alabama, Baylor, and Oregon. Rounding out the top ten are Michigan State, Auburn, Florida State, Georgia, and USC. Notre Dame is 11th, followed by Clemson, LSU, UCLA, and Ole Miss. Arizona State is 16th, then comes Georgia Tech, Wisconsin, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. The final five teams in the poll are Stanford, Arizona, Missouri, Boise State, and Tennessee. Defensive tackle Malik Collins and wide receiver DeMorne Personnel of Nebraska have been named preseason players to watch in the Big Ten Conference. Collins led the Huskers with 14 tackles for loss last year, including 4.5 quarterback sacks. Personnel was second in the nation in punt returns. Big Ten Media Days is underway in Chicago. Media members are hearing from seven teams today, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Maryland, and Michigan State, as well as Ohio State and Wisconsin. Friday's slate includes Michigan, Minnesota, Nebraska, Northwestern, Penn State, Purdue, and Rutgers. All 14 head coaches and a few select players will be attending the event. Husker head coach Mike Riley and player representatives quarterback Tommy Armstrong, wide receiver Jordan Westerkamp, and safety Nate Gary will meet with the media on Friday. Arizona Cardinals have released former Nebraska cornerback Alfonso Dennard. He joined the Cardinals in May after being released by the New England Patriots. Dennard had 90 tackles and 5 interceptions during his 3 seasons with the Patriots. Kansas City Royals lost to Cleveland yesterday 12-1. Kansas City will play at Toronto tonight beginning at 6:07. Pregame show at 5:30 tonight on The Breeze, KOIQ 94.5. That's a sports update on ESPN. I'm Mike Will.
ESPN Radio Superstation.
Out of the 20 and walking into the end zone. He'll take it in from 70.
KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney.
To the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth here on the road in Chicago at Big Ten Media Days, which are really just starting to begin. Mark D'Antonio, the first coach up in front of the big press room here in Chicago. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter, as Big Ten Media Days brought to you, of course, by our friends at Midway. Midway Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, and the Midway Auto Outlet, which is, of course, now open and ready for business. Midway.
it's
I'm sorry.
Well, we just saw Urban Meyer walking by look different when Kirk Ferentz went by a little bit ago. Looked a little different, didn't it?
But, I mean, it's kind of like when you watch whatever the Nebraska coach is. The one person that, okay, I've got to be the one to walk with Urban Meyer from the media, and it's Joe Shad. So Joe Shad's walking with Urban Meyer, and everybody else is trailing around like little puppies. But anyway, don't forget the Midway Auto Outlet is open for business, providing everything from a lower-end daily driver with great gas mileage to late-model, low-mileage vehicles. Three dealerships in a four-block radius, which allows Midway to keep over 25 makes and 600 vehicles in stock or in transit to the dealership. If they don't have exactly what you're looking for, they'll be happy to find the vehicle just right for you. See the full inventory online at thinkmidway.com or stop by the Midway Auto Dealership, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Midway, it's a better way. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you here from Chicago. It's not all football. As we were talking earlier, the Major League Baseball trade deadline is approaching, and the Toronto Blue Jays apparently, Randy, feel that they need to make moves. They feel like they can get into the playoffs right now, battling for a wild card spot.
Yeah, they pick up David Price, and obviously Price expendable from the Tigers' perspective because the Tigers probably aren't going anywhere this year, building for the future. So that's going to help the Blue Jays. That makes them a little bit stronger. And again, we saw this with the Royals last year. You get hot at the right time, then you can make some noise, but first you got to get in. And so they're doing their best to be able to do that. And again, my favorite team is the Reds, and they were selling this year instead of buying. And sometimes you have to do that to kind of build for the future and really look at what the Royals are doing right now. A fair number of their players come over. I think they got three starters that are in their daily lineup, three starters that came over with the deal for Greinke a few years back. So you have to do this and then hopefully down the road to pay some dividends. So Blue Jays kind of feel the future is now, and the Tigers are looking toward the future themselves.
And the Blue Jays, he'll be the ace of their staff now. They are in third place in the AL East, seven games back, and they're two games behind the Twins for the second American League wild card spot. So they've got some work to do, and they host Kansas City this weekend, so I suppose Price will be in the lineup by Sunday.
Yeah, and it gives them another opportunity to make up some ground somewhere on somebody. But I was just sitting here thinking that baseball is so different than the other sports. I mean, football has almost no trades. If it happens, it happens in the off season, and that's it. I mean, we've had more in the last 2 days. And again, I understand the trade deadline's coming around, but more happens in those 2 days than probably happened in 3 or 4 years in football. Maybe even more than four years in football in terms of trades. Now, free agency obviously is a different deal, and the NBA kind of somewhere in the middle there. But you don't run into this. You don't have those kind of trades in any other sport. Baseball, far and away, has those moving pieces more than any other sport.
Doug and Daddy Show live here in Chicago. Things just really getting underway on day one under their new format. But there's been a couple of stories. One is that 11 players have been selected as preseason players to watch. Call it what you want, best of the best. These are the ones they can put out there and put in front of you. And in the West Division, there's only 11, remember. And because of tie, six of them got into the West, five in the East. Usually it's 5 and 5. But Nebraska's Malik Collins and DeMornay Pearsonell are on the players to watch list, as is Giltner's Drew Ott, the defensive senior end for Iowa. Michael Caputo, safety. Corey Clement, running back of Wisconsin. And Northwestern running back Justin Jackson are also there. Interestingly enough, nobody from Minnesota who was getting votes to win the West in that media poll from Cleveland.com. In the East, Michigan State quarterback and defensive end Connor Cook and Shalik Calhoun, Penn State defensive tackle Anthony Zettel, and from Ohio State running back Ezekiel Elliott and Joey Bosa, the defensive end. And then you couple that about 20 minutes after we signed on the air, Tim May of the Columbus Dispatch broke the story that four members of the Ohio State football team will be suspended for the season opener on September 7th at Virginia Tech, and that includes the All-American defensive end Joey Bosa and hybrid back Jaleen Marshall, who is all-conference and a third-team All-American by Phil Steele, along with Dontre Wilson and receiver Corey Smith. So you've got three on offense and the defensive end in Bosa, and as we said, Urban Meyer just walking by, I'm sure being asked about that by Joe Shad, and I'm sure the tweets are out, and news stories will be here more on that forthcoming because this is Ohio State's day.
And I'm sure he'll be more forthcoming than Bill Belichick. I'm just saying that. I mean, he'll be more forthcoming and actually answering questions better than that. Going back to the players to watch list, basically it's an opportunity to kind of shine the spotlight on 10 players who are not offensive linemen. Because, again, it's not a true first team all-conference kind of lineup because, again, you only are doing 10 total. But it's just kind of interesting. You got running backs, some defensive tackles in there, defensive ends, and the quarterback that's on there is the guy that's been two-time second-team All-Big Ten Conference in Connor Cook, and that's the only quarterback in there. That lineup, and we talked about it earlier, that lineup of quarterback, that stable of quarterbacks at Ohio State, like JT Barrett, they don't have them because they're not sure who's going to be the starting quarterback there. And to me, that's completely fascinating. It says a lot about the depth that Ohio State has and the fact that those two stories you mentioned also overlap because Joey Bosa, who's one of the players to watch, well, we're not watching him against Virginia Tech because he's suspended.
And here's what Joe Shad says. Ohio State players were suspended for marijuana and academics, according to his source. So as we said when this broke an hour ago, two different sides of the spectrum. So all four weren't the same incident.
Right, and again, the marijuana in the state of Ohio would be illegal, but again, it's not a serious infraction. And like I said, the guy that would be dotting the I, we probably wouldn't be reading about him. The guy in the band that dots the I in the script Ohio.
And a lot going on. The big story maybe with Michigan State is replacing Narduzzi as the defensive coordinator who took the job at Pitt when Paul Chryst came to Wisconsin, part of that a whole carousel there. So that's a little bit of what D'Antonio has been talking about.
Yeah, and again, that's a team. I think Michigan State, I got to pick Ohio State to win the East. You absolutely have to. But am I going to suffer a heart attack if Michigan State can get back to Ohio State? No. I mean, they're that good. They could win that, and I need to look here and see where that game is being played at. But it doesn't really matter. I mean, obviously, if it's in the horseshoe, that's going to be a whole lot tougher. But Michigan State is good enough that they'd be able to do it. And when they play them, I'm looking here, Ohio State, that'll be at Ohio State. So I'll have to do it at the horseshoe, second to last weekend of the regular season. So obviously that'll be a little bit tougher. That's another reason, not that you need anymore, another reason to pick Ohio State to win the East. But Michigan State's good enough. They can make some noise. They can get it done.
You can be part of the Doug and Danny Show by sending us a tweet at ESPN 1460 1550. You can also email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Send us a Facebook, 888-455-ESPN. The phone number. We'll have more from Big Ten Media Days in Chicago in just a moment, brought to you by the Catholic Diocese of Grand Island, serving the Catholic families of central and western Nebraska.
Superstation ESPN News Center.
Traffic has been moving very slow this morning along the westbound lanes of I-80 near Elm Creek. Shortly after 10 this morning, volunteers with the Elm Creek Fire and Rescue were called to the scene of at least three trucks involved in a pileup near mile marker 259. Two of those included large oversized load trucks, and according to scanner traffic, so far just one minor injury has been reported. At one point, traffic was backed up to the Odessa interchange, and officials then began diverting traffic onto Highway 30. We'll have more details on the crash as it becomes available. Nearly 3 months after Hastings voters approved the closure of 9th Street through the Hastings College campus, the road will officially close for good on Monday. That, according to the Adams County Emergency Manager. Construction was set to begin in June, but was delayed by the May vote. Just 2 weeks ago, the Hastings City Council approved a nearly $42,000 agreement with Olson Associates for sidewalk and storm sewer improvements for the one-block stretch from Elm to Ash Avenue. Authorities say three men have been arrested on suspicion of robbing a Kearney credit union last October. Federal prosecutors say Patrick Wigley and Thomas Dunlap were arrested in Chicago this week. Clifton Hudson was arrested in Kearney on a separate drug charge. He's due in Lincoln today for his arraignment. And Adams Central students will have technology at their fingertips, literally, when they begin the new school year in 2 weeks. Through the One to World initiative, students will be able to purchase their own laptop computer or use a school-provided one for class and homework. The computers will be Google Chromebooks designed specifically for Internet access. Parents of all 6th through 12th graders at Adams Central are required to attend an informational meeting next Thursday from 6 to 9 p.m. With your Platte River Radio News Update, this is Brandon Peoples asking you to make an appointment to give blood during the 6th annual Rock and Roll Up Your Sleeve happening Wednesday. Just call 1-800-RED-CROSS to sign up. It's happening noon to 6 in each of the Tri-Cities and Holdridge.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
The following sponsors are proud to support the area youth involved with all the area county 4-H and livestock auctions. Aurora Co-op, with a location near you. Hand Machining in Pleasanton. First Bank in Minden. Pleasanton Irrigation. CHS Agri-Service Center. Family Physical Therapy. Burger King. Hellman Main, Kostler and Cottle of Kearney. And Town and Country Bank. Member FDIC. Good luck to each and every one of you. Taking time out of your summer to be a part of such a great program is already a blue ribbon in itself.
Hey, Nebraska, if you need new tires for safe summer driving, now's the time to save 25% at Big O Tires when you buy three tires and get the fourth free. That's an instant 25% off a set of high-mileage passenger performance, SUV, light truck, and crossover tires. Depending on what you drive, you can save up to $200 on your next set of tires when you buy three and get the fourth free, only at Big O Tires in Kearney and Grand Island. We are Big O Tires, the team you trust.
Don't stop feeding the birds this summer. Performance Seed Signature Blend contains everything you need to fill those bird feeders and attract those fine feathered friends to your backyard. Performance Seed offers a wide range of wild bird food products. Stop by your local Hardware Hank for some of these value products as well as super premium quality products. Hardware Hank and Performance Seed can help you keep the birds in your backyard all summer and into the winter months.
You've got a lot more going for you with Hank Hardware.
It's been a long day. It's cold outside and your car is on E.
Oh.
Okay, I'll go to Fast Bills. Because when I walk in, I know that I will be greeted with a fresh brewed tea or coffee and a smile. A good joke and sometimes a bad one. But the point is, they remember their customers and treat them like friends. So all of a sudden, filling up is something you look forward to. Fast Fills Plaza, your Senex station, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Fill your tank with Senex gasoline and fill your tummy with all your favorite munchies.
And welcome back here to Chicago Big Ten Media Days here at the McCormick Convention Center here in downtown Chicago. And again, we're starting to look forward to college football. That's coming up right around the corner. And the Walk to End Alzheimer's is not until next month, which is just right around the corner. It isn't until August. But right now, we need your help. We need your pledges. You can help either by forming a team, joining a team, or supporting Doug's team on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Yeah,
it's easy.
Doug.
Yeah, we're rooting for him. It's easy. All you got to do is go to ESPNSuperstation.com, click on the purple Alzheimer's Walk banner, and then click on the Kearney Walk, follow the directions, find Doug's team, and then simply, we just want you to come in, donate to the team for the Doug and Daddy Show, type in Doug's name, and then any pledge, dollar, dime, doesn't matter, anything you can do will help end that terrible disease of Alzheimer's.
Mark D'Antonio just saying that he thinks this could be his best defense at Michigan State.
That's
very
something.
Scary, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, Shalik Calhoun, who we met last year, Shalik Calhoun is an outstanding, outstanding football player. Just has a nose for the football, and he'll run through a brick wall to go get to it. I mean, it is a defense that's very, very special. They can put a lot of pressure on and shut down a running game all at the same time. They can put pressure on a quarterback and still shut down your running game. And once you know you're going to throw and you can put pressure on the quarterback, that makes that secondary that's pretty solid, makes that them very dangerous. And I think they returned like three picks last year for defensive touchdowns, and that can turn the tide of any game.
888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. You can email us anytime, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. In the big room now where each coach talks for about 15 minutes in front of the national media or their own newspaper folks, Tim Beckman. And during the break, I ran in there just to listen to his opening comments.
We have a question right down
from
here,
day one, when he was hired, and one of the first interviews that he did at Media Days was us here on the show. It just worked out that way. And he has salesmen all over him, but it seems like it's starting. Yeah, and he tries to stay positive and all those things, but he seems to slowly be building some momentum. I know the folks in Illinois, though, are hoping for a little bit faster progression.
Well, I think he's under a fair amount of pressure, and some of the off-season stuff, there was a fair amount of discussion about how appropriate it was for him in terms of he had a player that criticized him for pushing him to come back from injury a little bit too soon. And to me, I don't know if it's true. I wasn't in the locker room, don't know the circumstances. But if that is happening, that obviously is indication of the pressure that he feels that we got to win now. We got to push this thing forward. We got to get a little bit better every single year instead of just kind of hoping that it can put everybody off for 3-4 years and then finally hit that big year. You know, you have to kind of show people that you're moving in that direction, because the patience people have in terms of turning a program around just isn't there anymore, because there have been those cases. And you can take a look at Northwestern when they were winning the Big Ten years ago. Only took Barnett about 4 years to turn that around. And with that, now that's how long that milk goes before it expires. Then it turns sour and nobody wants to have anything to do with the program. If you don't turn around in 4 years, the people have the feeling that you're not going to. And it doesn't really work that way.
Indiana also losing some players today. Again, when the media guides come out, you notice some guys aren't in there. And I won't run them down for you because they won't make a whole lot of noise to a Husker fan or an Iowa fan out there. But when I look at where these teams are predicted, I think that you've got a Kevin Wilson. And in our Big Ten preview earlier this month, when we talked Indiana football, they were saying this, you need to get there, but then they're back to the last in the East. But if you're picked at the bottom of the West, and we talked about that earlier with Greg Sharp, voice of the Huskers, if you're picked at the bottom of the West, which is viewed as the much weaker top to bottom than it is in the East, and you're still picked at the bottom, I think you're in trouble. Even if you haven't been there a long time, like Illinois and Purdue, you have a chance to make that rapid rise like a Northwestern did during that time. And I think those are the ones that you get worried about, and I guess maybe you just kind of forget about their programs a little bit.
And you do, and they absolutely have to, I don't want to say run the table, because they in the non-conference, because there will be some opponents in there that running the table is not going to be an easy task for them. But you have to be able to get in, and it doesn't matter what bowl you get into. If you make yourself bowl eligible, if you can just kind of do that, then you can kind of buy yourself a little bit of time and say, all right, we're heading in the right direction. If you weren't bowl eligible last year and you become bowl eligible this year, that's a tangible thing that you can point to and say to your supporters, say to the folks back home, hey, we're moving in the right direction. Not having that, moving behind that, then you find yourself in some trouble. Because, again, I just don't think the patience is there. And I'm never one of those guys that really wants to sit there, oh, made a mistake, fire him. You know, I'm not that guy, because so many times you would throw away pretty good people at their job if you aren't patient enough to understand that sometimes there's going to be mistakes made along the way. And sometimes things aren't going to work out. Because everything a coach is doing, there's another team of coaches trying to stop them from doing it. So it's tough to do. It's tough to win, period.
Tim Beckman has taken the Bill Belichick approach to some of the questions about his program, saying we're focused on Kent State. He's not answering the questions about some of the controversy and some of the things that you pointed out, saying we are focused on Kent State, which is Illinois' opening opponent.
Yeah, that is the way of not answering the question playing flat out not answering the question. One of those things we're going to talk about. By the way, going back to Bill Belichick, he would be the worst history teacher ever. You know what I mean? He'd be the worst history teacher. That happened in the past. Who cares? That'd be the worst history teacher ever.
And Dirk Chatelain saying he's in the other room there. It never fails that the teams coming off the worst records are most optimistic for the upcoming season.
Well, yeah, you know, there is that old coaching adage, and it is absolutely true that you, with a team, you kind of bring them down when they're up, and when they're up, you try to bring them down. You know, just kind of put them back in the middle a little bit. I'm sure Urban Meyer is talking to his players and stuff and said, like, man, we've got so many holes we got to fill. We got to, you know, and you do that. You have to do that. And then when you're talking, you know, about, oh, Beckman in Illinois, or maybe, well, Edsel had a good year this last year, or Wilson at Indiana, you think to yourself, you know, guys, it isn't as bad as you think. We're going to making some improvement. Boy, there's a lot of good things coming. And you have to do that. And you know what? I think in their heart of hearts, that's exactly what they believe.
Got a lot to talk about and get into it again. It's a little slow right now here at Media Days, and a little different than we've incurred the first four Media Days that we have covered all here in Chicago when it comes to the Big Ten. They've changed the format a little bit so it doesn't necessarily jive with our live radio. We're going to have a whole ton of action coming up on tomorrow's Doug and Daddy show, including the Husker players will be here, and we'll have a chance to talk with them, hopefully hear a comment or two from Coach Riley before the end of the show tomorrow. But Nebraska is on that early, late schedule. They'll be the first ones up at the podium, but tomorrow also a different schedule because of what they've done. We've talked a lot about, and it's hard to explain, I think, if you haven't watched on the Big Ten Network or if you haven't been here in person, the kickoff luncheon, and they're going to throw that smack dab into the middle of the day tomorrow. So that kills about three and a half hours of there's not much availability
right.
of anyone. But tomorrow on the show, we will be talking with folks from Indiana, Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, Michigan State, as part of our coverage of Big Ten Media Days. We're going to tell you that the Big Ten Media Days here in Chicago are brought to you in part by Garrett Tires and Treads, celebrating 50 years of service with the Garrett Guarantee. If you joined us a little late, we haven't talked complete football wall-to-wall. Just again, want to congratulate the Grand Island Five Points Juniors winning the state championship last night over North Platte 9-3. Joe Wells looks like retiring, and so a state
good
championship.
Good way to go out. That's a heck of a way to go out.
For the coach on the way out. Also, Jared Shaffron, voice of the Tri-City Storm, has accepted a job at Ferris State, so he'll move on and call college hockey. And, of course, the biggest story in pro sports, Lucas Duda hitting three home runs for the Mets last night.
Proud Papa.
Cousin Luca.
Cousin
Lucas.
It's so distant, we don't even know what that distance is, do we? Yeah, it's that distant. But it is kind of a neat deal. Unfortunately, I think that the Duda family is going to have the career home run championship over the Bushcutter family. I'm just predicting that for time immemorial. There's not a lot of us out there.
I would hope so. Also, going to take a break here in just a moment here for more of what's going on here at Big Ten Media Days. And totally forgot with your comment there about Bushcutter home runs. What I was going to say before we go into the break here. So let's just go into the break from Chicago and Big Ten Media Days.
From AgView.net, I'm Ryan Martin with a market update. As we take a look at action on the midday marketplace, we're seeing a bounce in corn. Old beans have been holding on to positive numbers, and right now we're seeing wheat struggling. Not quite there yet in Kansas City, but struggling to try and get a voice heard out there. At the midday session, we've got corn up 3.5 to 4.25. Beans are up anywhere from 4.5 to 9. Now, the big numbers are coming on the nearby August contract. On the bean meal, we're up, we'll call it $1 a ton. Wheat anywhere from 3/4 down to 2.25 up in Chicago, still down 1.5 in Kansas City markets. Not a lot of new news out there during the mid-session as it goes so far. As a matter of fact, as you watch the Twitter feeds out there, there's really boring news happening in the marketplace. We're not seeing any significant changes. One of the biggest things was the fact that we didn't see the export sales report burning up any charts out there. Most of the markets at this point are well oversold. Weather is the big story here. And with cooler temperatures coming in as we go through next week, there's still no significant heat in the forecast. What about the livestock markets? Haven't talked about them very much recently. After starting stronger and giving us hope that the rally could continue, now we're seeing live cattle settle back. We're 22 cents higher on the August still, but we're down 25 on next April, and the rest of the contracts are somewhere in between. Feeders are flat on the day, 211.47. Then on the hogs, we are still kind of trading both sides right now, down 7 cents, 66 even. Some are saying the wholesale beef market is trying to show a bottom here, but the market isn't ready to jump on that yet today. Cotton up 32 at this point in time. Crude oil flat. Gasoline up 2 cents or so. Heating oil diesel up a penny. Dollar index up 75 points. Euro down 107. Other foreign currencies following suit. More market information and your quotes available online at agview.net. I'm Ryan Martin.
You taught your son everything, from fishing to hunting, baseball to football. You're the man. He looks up to you to teach him all the great things in life.
But have you taught him that real men don't abuse women?
This is one of the most important talks a man can ever have with his son.
Teach, talk, listen, lead.
To learn more about how to start this conversation, log on to sassacenter.org for resources. This message supported by funds awarded by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Calling all wing lovers to the chicken coop. You hear that? We're bringing in the ducks. Wings, that is, and not your average river ducks. Oh, no, these are Maple Leaf farm-raised ducks. They bring us the wings, and we dip them in your favorite sauce. All the same wing flavors the coop has become famous for are now available in duck wing, including the new mango habanero. Only at the Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, the best of both worlds, downtown Kearney.
A lot has changed regarding agriculture, but not the need for good information. And that's what AgView does best. This is Ken Rogers. AgView Radio and AgView.net is the only source of content specifically tailored for today's producer, rancher, business person, and all the people who work with and support agriculture. We cover ag markets like no one else, report agribusiness news like no one else, and provide you that information like no one else. On the radio, your computer, tablet, smartphone, or other digital device, AgView is the ag information source.
Dear Mike, sorry our relationship ended. I enjoyed our stops at Foot Convenience Plaza for beer, wine, snacks, and soda. Their delicious pizza, made fresh each day, was our favorite pizza in town. Foot's will always remind me of you. Well, I'm running out of lipstick and space on your windshield. P.S. They have washer fluid at Foot's.
Foot's Convenience Plaza, the first stop coming into town and your last stop out. East Highway 30, Kearney.
Mike and Danny Show live from Chicago and Big Ten Media Days, brought to you in part by the Kearney Chicken Coop, home of hot wings and cold beer. Stop by and enjoy lunch today at the Kearney Chicken Coop or appetizer special every weekday afternoon. And, of course, Keno, your favorite beverages. Anytime you want something to eat, 7 days a week, they're there for you at the Kearney Chicken Coop. A lot of places say they're a sports bar and grill, but no one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter, going to our Dent Popper inbox. This says, Bushcutter might not have the home run advantage, but I'll take his side of it if it comes down to kicking a long field goal. Long live kickers.
As long as it isn't me. By the way, we get to talk to some kickers, including the Luke Groza Award winner from Maryland.
Mr. Craddock.
He's awesome. I mean, he's very impressive. If you appreciate kickers, just check out that guy on YouTube and his phenomenal effort that he's able to do. I think he's like sitting 85% over 50 yards in his career.
He kicked
over
ball 50. Far.
He kicked ball far. He kicked a touchdown. I think he started by playing Australian rules football.
We're going to hear from Michigan State head football coach Mark D'Antonio here in just a moment. Update from Elkhorn, the final round of the Nebraska men's amateur at Indian Creek, and Gibbons' Riley Reinertsen with back-to-back 71s forged his way into a tie. He has just teed off for the final round there. So he has a one-shot lead over three others, including Carson Shockey out of Omaha, along with Jose Vega of Bellevue, who was the second-round leader, and Sam Murette, whose hometown is Brunswick, but we've heard a lot about him in the past as well. Michael Colgate, even through four rounds today, 76 yesterday, may have knocked him out of contention for the title. He sets at six over par, seven shots off of the lead. But Mark D'Antonio of Michigan State was up in front of the huge room of reporters here at Big Ten Media Days, and here's some of what the Michigan State coach had to say.
2007 with a number of things that we've been able to accomplish with the last four bowl victories and two Big Ten championships and top five things and things of that nature. But with that being said, I think our focus is to always continue to try and reach higher. Talked to our players last winter as we got together winter workouts, and the first thing we talked about was just the things that I just mentioned here, but yet we fell short of our goals. So with that being said, we need to continue to try and improve where we're at, move it forward. I'll take some questions.
We have a question right down here first. We'll start with Teddy. If you have a question, please raise your hand. We'll send one of our microphone holders over to you.
Coach, what are your expectations and hopes for Connor Cook's performance this season?
Well, same thing. You know, I think that Connor's done a remarkable job, extraordinary job throughout his time. Came on the scene in 2013 and, you know, capped off the season with a MVP in the Rose Bowl as a sophomore and then an MVP in the Big Ten Championship game as well. This past season did an outstanding job. Very, very few times was he sacked, not a lot of interceptions. But there's always room for improvement. I think he's come back with the idea that there are things left to prove. And you know, he's going to continue to take his game to a higher level. And that's exciting because I think the makeup of our football team, I think, in general is, you know, these contracts with who we're playing are made up probably 4, 5, 6 years in advance. And so I'm trying to focus on what we have to deal with and try to move it from there. Everybody's got their own program to run. So that's what we'll do with ours.
Our next question is on the aisle in the back of the room, and then we'll come over here.
How has Connor Cook handled all the Heisman hype and expectations heading into his senior year?
Well, we're going to find out a little bit more of that as we move into the season, certainly. But at this point, I think that he has people around him that will ground him on a daily basis, whether it's coaches, whether it's our strength staff, whether it's the people on our football team. So I think all of us need to stay grounded and be able to constantly improve daily. I know he's working extremely hard day to day with our skilled players and that. Things of that nature to try and establish himself, further establish himself. So I think he's done a great job with it. But, you know, these things are decided at the end of the season, not at the beginning. So I think that we've constantly talked about that. You know, he'll do a nice job with it.
Our next question, Coach, is toward the back, stage right.
Mark, you've talked often about your offensive line, and this could be the best one you've had since you've got at Michigan State. Would you talk about the depth of that line and how good it is being able to go forward?
Yeah, Coach Staten, our offensive line coach, has done an outstanding job with those guys. We have built this from the ground up as we've moved forward. Guys like Jack Allen, Jack Conklin, Donovan Clark, they're there now for their third year starters. Some of them are maybe a fourth year coming in the future. Brian Allen, Cody Keeler, those are the five guys, but we've got other guys that are making their move. I anticipate us playing eight guys again. Much like we have. We've got depth in the offensive line position, which is huge in college football, and I believe that you win up front. Jim Bowman has done an outstanding job as our tight end coach, and he's an offensive line coach in trade for a long time standing. So he gives Coach Dayton, you know, bounce back things, you know, ideas to bounce off of him, and so he's involved in that as well. But I think Mark Staten has done a remarkable job with our guys. They believe in him. They believe in the structure there. It's built on toughness. And if you know football, winning and losing, it all starts up front, and it's going to start with our offensive line.
Okay, our next question, Coach, is on our left toward the middle.
How is he adjusting to the transition to free safety, and how do you expect his play to improve?
I didn't catch the name.
Oh, I'm sorry, R.J. Williams.
R.J. R.J. will be going into his fourth year as a player back there, so he knows things as well. As our coaches, really. I mean, we have him out there when in summer camp coaching our high school kids and things of that nature that are in our camps, and he does an outstanding job. He's got to display leadership changes every single year. Curtis Drummond was our leader last year in the secondary. That changes. That's a free-flowing thing at every position, and I think his opportunities to lead are going to be really what set him apart this year. Very good player, tough, goes about 210 pounds. Hopefully. I think he's 216 right now. Got great ball skills, a lot of experience. I think we're talented at the safety position and our corner position as well. I think we've got great players in the back end, guys that are just waiting their opportunities. So it's going to be exciting to watch those guys.
The floor is open right now. If you have a question, please raise your hand. We have one in the back in the middle.
Thank you. Jim Comperoni, SpartanMag.com. Mark, new defensive coordinator this year, a pair of coordinators with Mike Tressel and Harlan Barnett. I'm curious, how have your communications with those two coaches changed this year in terms of preparation for this season, in terms of meetings? Has it been different with those coaches in anticipation of the changes coming up?
Well, we really stayed the course, you know, with our defense. Those guys have been in that defense and working together for the last 12 years. Ron Burton's the third guy. We brought Mark Snyder on, who was our linebacker coach when I was the defense coordinator at Ohio State. So I feel like we have a lot of experience there. We've got a lot of players coming back. We have some bell cows at every single position. So that's exciting to watch as well. But we're always going to critique everything that we do. Regardless of whatever year it's been, we critique it. We add some things. We subtract some things. And we try and rebuild a little bit differently or keep a lot of things structurally the same. But we're always trying to look to improve and critique what we've done. And that's been the norm. As far as those two guys, they have a tremendous amount of respect for both of them, the job that they've done. They've both had opportunities to leave and become coordinators or co-coordinators or go into the NFL and those type of things, and they've stayed the course. I think they deserve this opportunity. This is an opportunity for growth, much like from a defensive coordinator becoming a head coach. There's a lot of growth that has to take place. So the same thing happens when you go from a position coach to a coordinator position. I think they've done an outstanding job with that thus far, and the proof is in what the players say. When I have my player meetings with our players throughout May and June, about a half hour each with 100-plus players, that question gets asked. So they have a great deal of respect for both those coaches, and we're going to be fine, and we're going to pick up exactly where we left off.
We'll stay in the same part of the room for the next question.
Coach, a lot of attention has been paid to people like Connor Cook and Shalique Calhoun returning to campus and not leaving for the NFL. Can you talk about what it means to have a player like Jack Conklin back on the O-line this year?
Well, Jack Conklin is an outstanding player. He's a guy that for everybody out there that came there as a true walk-on and was put on scholarship at mid-year. So expectations coming in was to see what he could do, and he has excited us from day one when he stepped on the field. So he's a guy that not only is a great football player, but he has great aspirations and very high goals, not just individual goals, but team goals as well. We ask one of our goals of our football program in general is to be givers, not takers, and Jack Conklin is a giver. There's no question in my mind about that, and he sees the big picture. So it's excited to have him back as well as our other guys, and Jack Allen as well. He's an outstanding player that really is the heart and soul, I think, of our offensive line. So very excited about those opportunities that they have in front of them, both individually and collectively as a group and as a team.
Our next question, Coach, will go to our left down here toward the front.
Coach, can you talk about the development of Joey Price at the tight end? He had a breakout year last year for you.
Yeah, Josiah Price is a guy, in 2013, much like our tailback situation, we had no identity at tight end. Deion Sims had left early for the draft, and we had young players. And our tight ends now really are, just like our offensive line, are a strength on our football team. We'll go three or four deep in there, and we'll play a lot of guys, and Jim Bowman coaches those guys, and they've really become a big part of our offense in so many different ways. So Josiah is an outstanding blocker. He's an outstanding pass catcher. He's got the ability to go vertical down the field. He's got great hands, great confidence, and again, he's about giving back to other people. He's a tremendous role model for young people.
Next question, Coach, all the way on our right, and then we'll come right down here.
Hi, Mark. Dave Biddle from 24/7 Sports. Can you talk about the rivalry between Michigan State and Ohio State? And furthermore, what did you think about Ohio State winning the national championship and what effect that might have on the Big Ten?
First of all, I think it's a rivalry because I'm from Ohio. We have so many players from Ohio on our football team. You know, I think 27 last year. So it sort of comes with the territory at Michigan State a little bit. So it is for us a rivalry. I have deep respect for what they've done down there. I was a part of that back in the early 2000. And I respect that tradition very, very much. The second question? Oh, I see Ohio State. They were very, 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 very much like our 2013 team. A lot of things to overcome as the season presented itself. Challenge after challenge as they moved forward. Losing a football game. Close. Quarterback decisions. all those type of things. And so at every time they got hit with adversity, they met that adversity. And I think they grew stronger and stronger as the course of time went. And, you know, ultimately they win the national championship because ultimately they're playing their best football in November. And I think that's what happened. And congratulate them for that. Great coaching job.
Our next question is right down here, the gentleman in the orange shirt.
Yeah, Mark, could you speak to the buzz of what you guys, the way y'all had your bowl victory last year and stuff, a big comeback and stuff, and also following up on the Ohio State thing, what that did for the league as a whole, do you think, from a national stature standpoint? Tim May, Columbus Dispatch, by the way.
First of all, the bowl game, our bowl game victory was very, very exciting. It showed that we could be mentally tough and continue to push through tough times and be able to come out on the front end at the end of the game, and I think we just kept playing. And that was the thing that I remember about that game. You know, even though we were 20 behind, if we could just get 13 behind, we're back in the game. So that's what we were able to do, and I think the buzz behind that sort of catapulted the whole Big Ten forward based on other things that happened. You know, not only Ohio State's victories in bowl games, but a lot of the other teams. I think we won 5 bowl games, I believe. So that was very exciting for the league. As far as the national championship, I've said all along that great football is played in the Big Ten Conference, as it is played in all these other conferences. Great football, there's a lot of parity in college football. Things hang by the inches. And when people get hot, great things can happen. And I think you saw that last year by the answer to the question prior to. Good football team, good players, well coached, a lot of confidence, got hot. You know the rest. But I thought it was an outstanding season for them.
We have time for one final question, and it'll come right here in front of us.
Coach Mike Griffith from MLive.com, could you compare your defensive line quality and depth to others you've had at Michigan State and even maybe going back to your time as defensive coordinator at Ohio State?
Yeah, this is our defensive front is maybe as talented a group as we've had since I've been certainly at Michigan State in these last 9 years. And I would put it very much on par with the defensive line we had at Ohio State.
Michigan State football coach Mark D'Antonio here at Big Ten Media Days in Chicago from McCormick Place. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter, brought to you by the Catholic Diocese of Grand Island, serving the Catholic families of Central and Western Nebraska. We'll hear a couple comments here from Paul Christ of Wisconsin, who has just finished up at Media Days. Remind you that the top 25 is out from USA Today, and Ohio State is number one. Of course, Ohio State, some news this morning, 4 players suspended for the season opener against Virginia Tech, including the preseason Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year and defensive end Joey Bosa. So he is going to be out of the Virginia Tech game. Also, a Phil Steele third-team All-American returner in Jaleen Marshall out of Ohio State. A couple hybrid backs that are going to be missing that football game. And so Ohio State sits at 1, TCU is 2, then Alabama, Baylor, and Oregon are the top 5 teams. Michigan State does come in at that number 6 spot after going 11-2 last year. Connor Cook, Phil Steele has as the number 1 quarterback in the Big Ten, but again, because at the time you didn't know who Ohio State was going to have, so either way,
could be JT Barrett by the time it's done.
One or two, Connor Cook's really, really good. Hackenberg, Penn State, really, really good.
Yeah, you know, and I feel kind of sorry for Connor Cook because last 2 years he's been second team All Big Ten, and again, Braxton Bellamy, Miller 2 years ago, you know, won it. Last year he lost another Ohio State quarterback, so it just was He can't quite get over the hump, so you know he's chomping at the bit to really kind of prove himself. And he is probably, without a doubt, the best pro-style quarterback in the conference. If you were looking at somebody to drop back and throw the ball, Connor Cook's your guy.
And taking a look at the rest of the top 10, Auburn 7th, Florida State 8th, Georgia 9th, and USC at number 10. A lot of people a little optimistic, Phil Steele one of them, that USC could make the Final Four and make the national playoffs after being a little off the radar the last couple 3 years. Notre Dame is 11th, then Clemson, LSU, UCLA, and Mississippi is 15th. Then it is Arizona State 16th, Georgia Tech, Wisconsin comes in at 18, Oklahoma at 19. This is about as low as they've been in the preseason in a number of years. So they set at number 19, picked third in the Big 12. Arkansas and Brett Bielema is at 20. So has he done a great job at Arkansas, or was there something to work with? Because Arkansas was a laughingstock. They played Alabama and some other teams really, really well last year.
Yeah, they played them very, very close. They lost a number of games on the final possession, or were one-possession games. I think all but like one of their losses all year was a one-possession game. So they were in a lot of games, just couldn't quite get over the hump. If they can kind of flip the script a little bit, win those tight games this year, they're going to be higher than number 20 by the time it's all said and done.
Stanford is 20. The thing about the SEC, if you do well, you rise quickly.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt about it. Stanford is 21. Arizona is 22. Missouri is 23. Boise State, 24. And Tennessee, a team that people were kind of talking about last year, poised to make the move, setting at number 25, wrapping up the top 25 preseason USA Today coaches poll.
Tennessee traditionally overrated, and I think they might be this year as well. But they could also make that jump. Again, wouldn't shock me, but Tennessee, for whatever reason, and it's the SEC, I guess that's probably the reason, that they tend to be overrated.
And then, of course, what comes along with the poll? A story about the poll and others that are just outside of that, and they have Virginia Tech, Marshall, Cincinnati, along with Oklahoma State and Nebraska as teams poised to make a move, saying that the Cornhuskers are no more a contender for the college football playoff than any other member of the Big Ten second tier from Iowa, Michigan, Penn State, Minnesota. But says what Nebraska has is a workable schedule for Mike Riley's debut. Noteworthy winnable games against Miami and BYU. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, they're winnable.
They're noteworthy. They're opponents, but they're also winnable against decent Division I schools. And then the conference slate brings both Wisconsin and Michigan State to Lincoln. They don't have to play Michigan, Penn State, or Ohio State from the East Division. Says Nebraska is not going to ride this schedule to a spot in the top 10, but the Huskers should win 9 games during the regular season.
Yeah, and feel free to dream big. I mean, to me, for Nebraska this year, dreaming big would be one of those BCS games. The playoffs, no. But that's dreaming big, and that would be overachieving. This team would overachieve if they got themselves into an Orange or a Rose Bowl. But, again, they could make some noise. They really could. And it also wouldn't surprise me if they only won 8 games.
Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you at Media Days. We've got some info on more Husker news, football fan day, and what you can expect next Wednesday. Plus, we'll hear a couple comments from Wisconsin coach Paul Christ. It's all coming up after this sports update here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
ESPN SuperStation SportsCenter. Good afternoon. I'm Mike Will, a SportsCenter update on ESPN, brought to you by Plum Creek Motors in Lexington, where everyone gets a great deal and a great deal more. Rally runners in of Gibbon has moved to the top of the leaderboard after 3 rounds in the Nebraska Amateur Championship at the Indian Creek Golf Course in Elkhorn. Reinerson shot a 1 under par 71 yesterday and has a 3-round total of 215. Sam Merritt of Brunswick, Carson Shockey out of Omaha, and Jose Vega out of Bellevue are tied for second, just 1 shot off of the pace at 216. Michael Colgate of Kearney is tied for 13th. Reed Wiebe out of Sutton is tied for 23rd. The final round is being played today. Grand Island Five Points Bank has repeated as the Class A American Legion Junior State Tournament champion. Grand Island beat North Platte 9-3 yesterday in the championship game. Billy Mount pitched a complete game, giving up 5 hits and 3 runs while striking out 13. Tucker Krasicki had 3 hits and 2 RBIs. Grand Island ends the season at 36-13. Millard South beat Papillion South twice yesterday, the one the Class A Senior State Tournament in Hastings. The 52 Patriots beat Papillion South 11-8 in the first game and then captured the title with a 5-4 win in the nightcap. Omaha Creighton Prep beat Columbus 9-6 to win the Class A State American Legion Tournament in Omaha. Millard South will play Omaha Creighton Prep for the Class A State Championship on Friday. After 3 seasons with the team, Tri-City Storm play-by-play announcer and director of media relations Jared Shaffrin has accepted a new position with Ferris State University as the Athletics Communications Associate. In his new role, Shaffrin will serve as the voice of Ferris State Hockey while working in the Athletic Communications Office. Corey Kluber took a shutout into the 9th inning as the Indians avoided a winless homestand with a 12-1 pounding of the Kansas City Royals yesterday. Michael Bourne was 4-for-5 as Cleveland had a season-high 18 base hits in the ballgame. Kansas City will play at Toronto tonight beginning at 6:07. Pre-game show begins at 5:30 on the Breeze, KLIQ 94.5. And Nebraska will start the football season not ranked for the first time since 2008, according to the Amway Coaches Poll released this morning.
Ohio State is ranked number one, followed by TCU, Alabama, Baylor, and Oregon. Rounding out the top 10 are Michigan State, Auburn, Florida State, Georgia, and USC. Notre Dame is 11th, followed by Clemson, LSU, UCLA, and Ole Miss. Arizona State is 16th, then comes Georgia Tech, Wisconsin, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. The final five teams in the poll are Stanford, Arizona, Missouri, Boise State, and Tennessee. And the Arizona Cardinals have released former Nebraska cornerback Alfonso Dennard. He joined the Cardinals in May after being released by the New England Patriots. He had 90 tackles and 5 interceptions during his 3 seasons with the Patriots. And that's sports.
There's a special place to buy your next vehicle, Plum Creek Motors.
You can buy the best and say for sure that'll make you happy, don't you know? And we came along with this little song so you'd know where to go.
At Plum Creek Motors, they specialize in making your life easier. Now just imagine you're driving a new Chevy Impala down the road and all the heads are turning and staring at you. Now that's got to make you feel pretty good. And you'll feel even better knowing how much you saved. At Plum Creek Motors, they can handle all your automotive needs. You can get it all, exactly what you're looking for, at real affordable prices. And they have easy financing, too. Plum Creek Motors, where you'll get a great deal and a great deal more.
Now we've told you where and told you why, and we wouldn't tell you wrong. Folks every day keep a heading that way, so why don't you come on along?
Plum Creek Motors, across the street from the Dawson County Fairgrounds in Lexington. Mama says they're great, and you know she's got good taste. Why, she married me, didn't she? Get your new Chevy at Plum Creek Motors. Go see him today.
ESPN Radio Superstation, brought to you in part by Garrett Tires and Trends, celebrating 50 years of service with the Garrett Guarantee. Now, again, we've got more coming up. Interesting note on the Ohio State suspensions, with the suspensions of a couple of them for the first game against Virginia Tech at wide receiver and graduation and moving on. Only one of their top 5 receivers will be eligible for that game against Virginia Tech.
So this Braxton Miller guy might be called into duty as a wide receiver early. That's not a bad way to – if you're going to fill in with somebody, you might have a guy that's been the offensive player of the year in your conference a couple of years ago.
Interesting. Isn't it?
Yeah, it's interesting how that kind of works out. And that might give him an opportunity to shine, because that's a game that's going to draw a lot of attention.
He had to know that when he made his announcement last week.
I wouldn't be surprised at all, because marijuana usage and the academic problems, I don't think probably came from the summers. Maybe it did, but probably not over the summer school.
You're supposed to catch up.
Yeah.
And if you have a problem, that's why summer's
there. You saw that one coming up on radar, that's for sure.
Well, Husker faithful are reminded to mark Wednesday, August 5th, on their calendar for the annual Nebraska Football Fan Day. Moving to the evening, players and coaches available to Husker fans from 6 to 7:30 at Memorial Stadium. It's annually the best opportunity for fans to meet and greet the Husker football players, the coaches, the staff, before the start of fall practice the very next day. Fans, we'll have a whole lot more about that next week as it rolls around. But right now, Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter.
That's a good example of how they're rethinking everything at Nebraska. With the new coaching staff and everything, they're rethinking everything. Instead of it being that Saturday afternoon, let's do it in an evening sometime. And it's just another example of them rethinking everything they do.
We will hear now from Paul Christ, the new head football coach at Wisconsin, of course, being one of the coordinators and now taking over after 3 years at Pittsburgh and the moving on of Gary Anderson. Paul Christ taking over, and here's what he had to say briefly this morning at Big Ten Media Days.
Questions?
Thanks, Doug. Well, truly, I'm very appreciative and proud to be here, Big Ten Media Days, representing the University of Wisconsin, and equally proud to be here with 3 players that I think are a great representation of our team this year and overall our program and our university. So I'm looking forward to everyone getting a chance to meet and spend time with our quarterback, Joel Stave, our running back, Corey Clement, and our safety, and also team captain, Mike Caputo. And it was interesting. At the end of spring practice, I had an opportunity to sit down and meet with every one of our players. And part of the thing to get the conversation going was to have a forum. And I wanted to find out as much about this team, and therefore each individual player, as I could. So I had a forum and wanted players to put down top three leaders on our team, top three people on our team respected the most, and in their opinion, our best three players. And have done this before, and you always get a little bit of insight to your team and to the individuals that are filling out that form. And for the first time ever in doing this, Mike Caputo, on every person's, every player's sheet, Mike Caputo was in all three columns. And that obviously told me a lot about Mike, but it was also a relief that it confirmed what I thought and our coaches thought. And any time that you're on the same page with your team, it makes you feel good. And so that was an easy one to see, but you're glad and it confirmed that our team felt and saw it the same way. And as we go through and name captains, our players will always name the captains and learn this from Coach Alvarez, though, that the coach can always have veto power, but this is one that wasn't needed. And that's been the best part of being back, is getting to know these players. And we've got a group of players that have won a lot of football games. You know, those three players were in the last Big Ten championship game. Those three players played championship game before that. And I was fortunate to play in the first championship game. There are players at Wisconsin that know how to win and what it takes to win. And our challenge and our opportunity is for this year's team to be able to do that. And we've got great leadership from the seniors, juniors, and we've got a young group of players that I think are anxious and ready to follow their lead. And again, being back, there's so many great things for me coming back to the University of Wisconsin. But the best part of coaching to me always has been working with the players and helping those individuals be the best they can be. And then getting a group of individuals to be the best team that we can be. And our group, our team right now, I think, knows what it needs to do to be their best. And this summer, I liked watching them. I liked getting to know them and continue to get to know our players and what they're doing and how they've gone about their business. And couldn't be more excited to go to camp and to start this journey that is the 2015 season together.
Doug and Danny's show here on ESPN Radio, live from Big Ten Media Days going on here in Chicago. Brought to you by our friends at Kearney Chicken Coop, home of hot wings and cold beer. A lot of places say they're a sports bar and grill, but no one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop. I could use some Coop wings right about now.
Yeah. The cold turkey sandwich was okay, I guess, but not quite the pizza we had last night.
It's a little bit past lunchtime here for us. Love to have you with us as we are starting to wind down the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio for a Thursday edition. Of course, we've got a lot going on tomorrow. Most of the availability is going to be made this afternoon, but I believe we're going to get Mike Caputo over here from Wisconsin. One of the players to watch, safety, three-year everything here for Wisconsin, and we'll talk with Caputo before we wrap up the show today.
Bednarik Award watch list, which is for your best defensive back, defensive safety in the country. Well, and that and a lot of war. There are a couple of different ones, but that one's specifically for safeties. He's good. He's fast.
Second team All-American last year. He's also on that Lott Impact Trophy Award watch list, which we've talked about before. So, Michael Caputo, if we were lucky enough here in just a moment, we'll talk with him from Wisconsin on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Yeah. And maybe, he went there. He went right. Went left instead of right.
Maybe we're not lucky enough. So maybe we'll get Caputo tomorrow on the show. So they got to keep him moving. We understand it. I'll let you know as well, folks, that it was a different situation here today. If you've been listening to the media days over the last few years, this is different than any of the other ones we've been to. And it's not just us. It's very quiet
along barren.
Radio Row.
It's been barren on Radio Row.
But again, a late start today.
Well, but most of the other radio shows across the Midwest and Big Ten country are in the afternoon, so it doesn't hit them as hard as it's hitting us.
You were talking about Brad Craddock, the only kicker that was brought here to Big Ten Media Days, the All-American Lou Groza from Maryland. Mitch Sherman just saying he's never heard, and Etzel's up at the podium now, he's not sure he's ever heard a coach heap that much praise on a kicker?
Well, again, he's not only is he the best kicker in the country, being a Lou Grosser Award winner, phenomenally good. It's been one of those guys that has hit like 98% of his extra points throughout the course of his career, hit, I think, 26 straight field goals, and that included, I think, 5 field goals over 50 yards, including a game winner during that stretch. Whatever you want of your kicker, that's exactly what he brings to the table. And again, punches it through the end zone for touchbacks all the time. So again, huge leg, tremendous weapon if you have that. I mean, if you've got that, you know you get to about the 40-yard line, you got a legitimate chance of coming away with some points. And if you get down to the 35, you can put them on the board. That's just a tremendous weapon.
Well, folks, we will run down and wrap up our Thursday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show. We do want to say thanks to the voice at Ohio State in Paul Keels, the voice of the Huskers, Greg Sharp, for joining us today. Hail Varsity. We'll have more live from Media Days today with Chris Schmidt. He is here. He is working on some player interviews as well, so you'll hear some of those from 4 until 6 today here on ESPN Radio. We'll both be back with Doug and Daddy Show tomorrow at 11, Hail Varsity tomorrow at 4. So Schmitty at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Schmitty, put that headset on. Let's get a preview of what the folks are going to hear. What are we going to hear on Hail Varsity this afternoon?
That's a great question.
I'm curious about that myself.
I've been prepping like a madman.
Do they hate us?
I showered and I put the phone
on. I can say this is the first time you've been here in a while, and so we're going to blame you.
Oh, you should. kind of like Joe Boo.
why wouldn't we? But
we've got Sean Merriman, very talented writer, covers the Big Ten, BTN.com. Sean Merriman going to be with us. Senior safety Mike Caputo of Wisconsin Badgers. He will join us. And many more. Maybe a Lars Anderson sighting from the Bleacher Report. I have threatened him. He's down the hall, so he'll be by. Sip will be in. He's going to show off his tattoo to everybody.
Sweet.
Which is great radio, by the way.
Right. Yeah, well, that's now with social media.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right.
And I don't know why my music's playing. Forgive me there. And we'll try and run down Drew Ott. That's tentative. Maybe a few Illinois players. Who else is supposed to be here? I've been promised some Michigan State folks. We'll see. D'Antonio's 40 time is 4-2 out of the hotel.
He's very agile.
I keep yelling Bob Crocker when he walks by, but it's just enough for a head turn. So we'll see how it all plays out.
Urban saluted me.
I saw that.
I thought he was saluting Keels.
Of course, maybe. You had your hand out for a handshake, and he then raised it up for the salute, so it may not be as valuable as you think it is.
No, it's all right.
What'd you think about the news?
It's a different salute, though. I'm used to a different kind.
What'd you think about the Ohio State news today? We were talking when we came on the air that something always breaks. We used to laugh that when we got here, the press guys would be out the evening before. That wasn't the case. So the boys would really get through that Husker press guy and say, this guy's not in it, this and this. None of that today. But then we have the Ohio State news of 4 guys not going to be able to go for Virginia Tech. I mean, if it was any other game, I don't think it's going to matter, but still, when you're number one, you just don't want anything rocking the boat. They've had enough rocking the boat the last 3 years.
You don't want any rocking the boat. It's going to be hyped up and juiced up because it's revenge time, and that's really their game, their road game this year. They've got a couple other road games, but most of the time this season, most of the threats come to the shoe. So for them to start out in Blacksburg with down 4, I mean, I don't know. It's not ideal, but I think they are talented enough and focused enough that they'll find a way. I mean, this sounds crass, but it's still Virginia Tech. I mean, it's still Virginia Tech that is a different Virginia Tech at home, but they're still 10-4, and they're not quite – they haven't been quite that level to take down a top 5 or a top 10. They just haven't been.
This is not the Virginia Tech team that ran behind O'Hanlon.
No, this is not the – let's leave Maddie alone. Come on, the man suffered.
I know, good
for
kid.
Years.
That's okay. And 3 picks against Oklahoma made
and here,
up for
here's
it.
The other thing with Maddie. It's not like it was his bad that they were held to 4 field goals. Okay?
Yeah.
Inside the 30.
Wait, thanks. Go. Hail, Hail Varsity coming up at 4 o'clock today here on ESPN Radio. Schmitty, go get back to work. Okay?
I will. You guys are awesome.
That's going to wrap things up for our first day here at the ESPN Doug and Daddy Show at Big Ten Media Days. As we say, a lot more tomorrow. We will be picking up plenty of interviews this afternoon. We'll also be having a little Husker talk again tomorrow and a lot more when we return. So we're all over it. Keep bringing you what we can here from Big Ten Media Days.
Yeah, and we'll keep plugging away. And again, between now and when we're on the air at 11 o'clock tomorrow is when the bulk of the opportunities for us to actually grab people and talk to them is going to occur.
The deodorant's on. It's going to be a busy afternoon. Again, thanks to Paul Keels, voice of the national champion Ohio State Buckeyes, voice of the Huskers, Greg Sharp, for stopping by and joining us. Also to Lucas Duda for hitting 3 home runs yesterday for the Mets. Congratulations to Grand Island 5 points, the state champions, and best of luck to our bud Jared Shaffrin from the Tri-City Storm. He's going to be the new announcer with some other jobs over at Ferris State. Randy, let's get to work.
All right, well, let's roll up our sleeves. Let's go.
For our producer, Caleb Henry, and for Randy Bushcutter, Doug Duda from Chicago, thanks for listening to the Doug and Daddy Show brought to you by the Kearney Chicken Coop, the Catholic Diocese of Grand Island, and Garrett Tires and Treads.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.